breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News This Morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
Yes, indeed. Guy James here with you on the Guy James Show. So glad you're along with us this evening. We're coming to you live from Wink WNOG, Fort Myers, Florida, in Naples, Florida, and also streaming live on the Internet. So terribly glad, awfully glad to have you along with us this evening. Well, we're streaming this on the Internet, I think. I don't see the volume up over there at all on the Internet. I wonder if we're doing okay on that. Ron's going to check that out, but don't see the little bars moving on the screen there or anyplace. So we're up okay. We're not showing any volume. Hey, if one of you not if you're not getting any volume, give us a call at the studio, 800-602-888-602-7500-7501-7502-7503-7504. And locally, 479-5540 and 263-6570 if you're in Collier County. Well, we are coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of Fort Myers, Florida. And let me just warn a few of you, if you are some of our right-wing callers, if you heard me before the first time this evening, you're going to think I'm the devil before the night's over, because if you are a right-winger, you and I don't agree on very much. So let's get that straight right off the bat, okay? And a lot going on this week, and I pretty much know what a lot of you are going to want to talk about tonight. What else was in the news this week but the Terri Schiavo situation. And okay, Ron tells me we are streaming. Okay, we're just not showing any volume over here. That must be something, some sort of an anomaly. But I'm sure some of you let me know. We've got a thread going on DemocraticUnderground.com, and somebody on there just let us know if there's no volume. One person already did, so doesn't hear us. So we'll get that straightened out, and we'll get with you very, very shortly. A lot to talk about this evening. I know some of you are going to want to talk, want to hear the Schiavo case discussed. My God, do you ever see anything so prominent in the news? Heard someone say today that there was more of that on the news this week than there was 9/11 week, and I wouldn't doubt that. Don't think I've ever seen a story capture the attention of literally the entire world like this has, and it's very unfortunate. My goodness, it's hard not to feel terrible for Michael Schiavo and his in-laws. I understand his in-laws don't even want to be associated with him anymore, but it's just unfortunate the way this whole family thing has worked out. So I hope this all ends up in a decent way. My goodness, it's a family tragedy of the highest order. And I see, okay, someone says, I hear you through the net. All right, good. Just an oddball thing going on here. My headphones are all right. And, okay, we're having a discussion in here about what to do about this volume thing. So we'll get it worked out pretty soon, probably at the first break. So, hey, we talk about this on the air quite a bit, about this disparity in the media. And for a long time now, This is not new to you who've listened to this show for a long time. I've been saying I think the disparity in the media between liberals and conservatives has really been killing the Democratic Party. And I don't think I've ever heard that opinion validated quite so convincingly as it has been during this last week. Would someone please tell me what politics has to do with the Terri Schiavo case? But, as in almost every issue that arises in this country, the Republicans have seized upon this Schiavo case to demonize the left and make it sound like the Democrats are some sort of Frankenstein monsters who want to kill defenseless American citizens. And make no mistake about it, they have convinced a significant number of people that we're killers, all right. They persuaded the public that we not only enjoy killing babies, but now we've moved on to killing adults who can't defend themselves. They had their talking points distributed early on in this battle and really poured it on through the media this past week. And before any of you call in and say, oh, that's not true about those talking points, that's not true, it's never been proven, well, you ought to listen to your own Republican congressional representative from Connecticut, Representative Shays, a Republican in every sense of the word. I heard him in an interview on TV say, yes, the talking points were passed around, and he did read the memo. So don't try and call me and say that that was some sort of a fake, because it wasn't. But, they had their talking points to really passed around early on in this battle. And Hannity and Limbaugh and Laura Ingraham and the rest of the right-wing talkers have conspired with their, let's face it, their right-wing masters, and blasted Democrats on this issue every single day. And you've seen the Republicans on TV almost nonstop telling America what an insensitive bunch we are. You couldn't watch TV or listen to radio without being bombarded with stories about how we, the Democrats, are starving Terri Schiavo to death. You know, even my local newspaper got in on the act and put the Schiavo story on the front page alongside of another story about how a local man is in trouble with the law for starving some cattle. Is that an accident by the newspaper? I don't think so. But when it comes down to it, here's the $64,000 question. Why haven't the Democrats stood up to these vicious attacks? Have you, have any of you, and let me know if you have, seen Hillary or Ted or any elected Democrat for that matter outside of Barney Frank, have you seen any of them go before the camera and throw this back in the Republicans' faces? Not that I've seen. And here we have the Republicans in solidarity vilifying the Democrats, saying we're going to be responsible for Terri Schiavo's death, and no Democrat is really speaking out about it. If they are, it hasn't been covered. The sad fact is that the Republicans put their people on notice through that talking points memo that was circulated on the House floor last week. And they said this is a great issue for them. And you've hardly heard a peep in the media or from the Democrats about them doing this solely for political reasons. Let's face it, that's the only reason they've done it. I don't think I've ever seen or heard a more disgusting attack coming from Tom DeLay and his followers. They've got no morals, no ethics, and they're disgusting. But the Democrats, are they fighting back? No, not really. You know, clearly we're on the proper side of this issue. 70% of the public thinks she should be allowed to die with dignity and in private without governmental interference. And even many of you who think Terri Schiavo should be allowed to die, or those of you that think that they should try everything they can to save her, most of you folks don't even approve of the governmental interference, and that's the problem I have with it. The government should not be interfering in a private matter. But the thing is, you know, the Democrats have been hiding in the weeds, afraid to say anything because they don't want to offend the religious right. That's it in a nutshell. People like Hillary Clinton have been courting the religious right since the past election. You know, they figure we have to capitulate to them because they're running the show right now, and they've seen Bush yield to them for political gain, and now they think that we, the liberal Democrats, need to lower ourselves into the same action. We've got no guts. We've got Democrats wanting to sell out to the beliefs of Falwell and Robertson and Dobson for political gain, and to me, it's absolutely disgraceful. I know some of you older folks that are students of history remember that famous picture of Neville Chamberlain returning from that meeting with Hitler, waving that document in the air about how he'd signed a treaty with him. Do you remember the outcome of Chamberlain's treaty? Well, the Democrats are going to end up the same way if they try and appease the right-wing fundamentalists. It's just that simple. So what's the answer to this right-wing propaganda? The answer is very simple, and you've heard me say it over and over and over again. We've got to counter these people in the media. I know it's a long, hard climb ahead of us to do that, but it's got to be done. In fact, I predict that unless we're successful in at least evening the playing field on TV and talk radio, we'll never win another national election, because as long as they control the media the way they do now, we'll never be able to get our message out, and we'll continue to get beat over the head by the right-wingers on whatever issue they choose, in any manner they choose. You know, it's not a fair fight right now, and we're losing ground every single day. Oh, yeah, we've got a few voices who are serious about it on the air, like Ed Schultz and Randy Rhodes and Mike Malloy and Tom Hartman, myself, and a few others. But is there any nationally recognized voice among us? The answer to that is a big no. And why is that? Why don't the powers that be in our party recognize that? Do they really believe that launching Air America, Ed Schultz, and a few comedians is going to do the job? They should know by now that's not getting the job done. We need a major offensive on the airwaves, and we need it now. There needs to be millions of dollars spent getting this done. Where's the money? Where's the interest? You know, I've been around long enough and around enough Democratic political big shots to know that's just not a priority to them. They think the status quo is just fine. And this is only a temporary setback of some kind, and eventually the tide will turn without doing anything about it, and that's pure fantasy. You know it, and I know it. And as long as we continue down the present path, we're going to continue getting our asses handed to us in most elections, and you know I'm right. These half-hearted attempts at gaining media exposure by our side are a laugh. They're nothing more than token gestures. You know, Air America is struggling financially, as are most liberal programs. We need help. And we need it now. We need help from our party leadership, and we need help from the grassroots. You lend your support to Democratic Liberal Talk Radio, and we'll succeed. I'll guarantee you that. You lend us enough support that we can stand toe-to-toe with them in airtime, and we'll make the right-wing talkers look like the outrageous liars and con men they are, because in a fair fight, our message against theirs is no contest, and you know it. You put any conservative talk radio host up against the half dozen or so good liberal broadcasters in a fair debate, and we'll easily destroy every one of their arguments. I'm asking you, help us get this done by supporting liberal radio, all liberal radio. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's get some support behind liberal radio. It's got to be done, and sooner than later. I know a lot of you are going to want to talk about the Schiavo case tonight. It is the number one story in the news this week. We'll be talking about that. We're going to be talking a little later on about at about 8:30 with a gentleman by the name of Tyson Slocum. He's from a think tank in Washington, D.C. Going to talk about the gasoline price problem, about what a phony deal that is right now, and how, again, the rich are getting richer, and, well, the rest of us taking it in the ear when we, so to speak, as we go fill our tanks up every week. It's hurting by now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I know my car was, it was $16 to fill it up before. Now it's $32, $33 to fill it up. And, when you figure that two cars in a family, two people working, that's a lot of money every month. But, boy, the guys that own the oil company and got the stock in the oil company, they're sure clapping their hands, aren't they? Not hurting them a bit. Hey, we're going to go to Ryan in Cape Coral, and he wants to talk about Republican hypocrisy, and I tell you what, we could write a book on that, couldn't we, Ryan?
Yes, sir, we really could. How are you tonight?
Great.
That's good. You know, it really does bother me. First of all, I want to say about what you mentioned earlier about why the Democrats don't go after these people, why they sit back. I was disappointed that Kerry did not go after Bush during this last campaign. But the Republican hypocrisy I wanted to talk about, you know, these Republicans are accusing the Democrats of a culture of death and all kinds of things, and they're the culture of life. Well, let me tell you about their culture of life. In Texas in 99, Bush signed a law that, and this law provided that if the family was poor, the hospitals wouldn't even have to notify the family. They could just remove somebody from life support. So, and as a result, many people died. And
oh, absolutely, Ryan.
Yes.
Yeah, the one part of it, they're wanting to talk about one part of it and
yes.
leave out the bulk of it. It did change the notice the people had to give from 3 days to 10 days.
Yeah.
So it gave them 7 days longer to worry before they pulled the plug.
Yeah, but they pulled the plug and the family had nothing to say about it. But why didn't the national media ever address any of that? They never talk about that. It's this pick and choose that really does bother me. You know, Bush wants to severely cut Medicaid or even eliminate Medicaid. If that's not going to cost a lot of people their lives, I don't know what will. Bush wants to limit the, you know, didn't Terry Schiavo benefit from the lawsuits that were filed, the medical malpractice lawsuits to the tune of over $1 million?
Sure.
Yeah, and here's the thing. They want to limit that to a very small amount. And, I mean, you know, these are the people always talking about the sanctity of marriage. Well, they don't believe in the sanctity of this marriage because, according to them, they're making all kinds of accusations against the husband. And shouldn't this be up to the husband? He said, you know, this was her wish. If that ever happened, I think we have to take him at his word, don't you?
Absolutely. There's no choice. The courts have said it that as much.
And you know what? They want to cut food stamps by millions of dollars. They're severely cutting veterans' benefits. Now, which party is it that's the party of that's the culture of death? I'd say it's the Republicans. It's they always use a very narrow hot button issue like this, and yet the rest of the news media never seems to point this out. That's what bothers me, that the Democrats for the most part don't point these things out. There are a few good talk show hosts, you know, you're the best, and of course Tom Hartman, and I like Randy Rose, and there's a few others, but you know, for the most part there's no other voices out there, and it does bother me, because if we don't do something about this, we're going to lose this. We really will. And something, I want to fight them, you know, with everything I got, put it that way.
It's slipping away.
It sure is. And the, you know, the Democrats have got to start fighting these people and fighting back and not being afraid to take this on. They're always afraid they're going to get clobbered. But you know what? In the public opinion polls, the 70% or better of the American public is on our side on this issue, and it has backfired on Bush, and I hope it continues to.
Well, both the Bushes have gotten off, and Tom DeLay, I might add, and Bill Frist have gotten awfully quiet since those polls came out.
Oh, yes, he has. And they talk about the culture of life and everything. And isn't it Bill Frist that, isn't he the one, you know, he'll come up with this big family values thing? I believe his family owns one of the biggest I think they're some of the operators. They're the operators of some of the biggest chain of abortion clinics in the United States. Are they not? I think.
I don't know about that. I know they're heavy into the HMO hospital
side,
but I don't know about any abortion thing for them.
Yeah. Well, I had heard that on Air America, so that's that's where I got that information from. But if anyone can check into it, I believe that's true.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Ryan.
You're very welcome, and you have a good day now. Okay, bye.
You know, it makes me want to throw up when I hear him talking about the culture of life. I got a question for all those culture of life people who were praying out in front of Terry Schiavo's hospice this week. And I also like to know from all you people that had the drums going and all that noise and confusion and that circus that's going on out in front of there. Did you have any regard whatsoever for the other people that are in that hospice? Do you? Any at all? You know, where were you last? That Republican Congress were pushing to cut Medicaid, all you culture of life people. You know, Medicaid is the lifeline of medicine for the poor. And by the way, Medicaid is picking up some of Schiavo's hospital bills. And I just wonder, are you just pawns of the Republican Party? You worry over a woman who's hung in a vegetative state for 15 years, but stand silent as 45 million of your fellow Americans go without any health insurance. You know, that more than 18,000 adult Americans die every year for lack of health insurance, according to the Institute of Medicine in Washington, D.C. 18,000 people. For lack of medicine, and yet you people are outside demonstrating. I don't understand. I do not understand. You know, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Jeb Bush spent most of the last year making his pro-life credentials look good with big displays of hypocrisy on this thing. You know, he made a big deal of getting himself into the Schiavo case, talking about denying the husband's right as a wife's legal guardian. You know, he tried to get Terry Schiavo put under his care, under the DCF care in Florida. Do you know that right now the DCF in Florida is missing 292 children in their care? 292 kids in Florida can't be accounted for that are wards of the state. Think Terry Schiavo ought to be put in their care? Yeah, right. Let's go to Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
All I can say is my sentiments exactly. I want to talk because how can they say that they care about Terry Schiavo? I have not seen any crowds, any tears for one child in the Sudan, one child in Iraq, one child in Africa that's dying of AIDS because of man-made lab rats is all they were for AIDS. And then they got $200 will cover their medicines down there. No, now the big pharmaceutical companies of America won't let India produce the same exact thing because they charge $15,000, and they don't. And then they're going to say they care about people. What about the children over there dying of AIDS, and they can't afford the medicine? What about these children in Iraq, people? Why haven't you rallied around these children and cried for them? Not one tear. I have not seen not anyone stand out and hold up signs saying, God forgive us, we're murdering children so that big stockholders can get their bundles off the war. I haven't heard any of this. But, oh, we're over there for democracy? What about democracy? When are we going to see it in this country? We're not even having real elections. But yet we're supposed to sit and listen to this crap? No. And, hey, as a terminally ill person, I can tell you, I don't want George Bush in my business. I don't want Jeb Bush in my business. My business is between me and my God and my family. And I don't want any government coming in on me, telling me anything about me. You'll not leave me in between heaven and hell, stuck for 15 years, staring at a ceiling, and tell me that you're doing me good. Don't ever do it.
Well, I agree, Diane. I agree. They've got no place in doing it. And, you know, at first they wanted to jump all over this and look like the guys riding in on the white horses. But, you know, since those polls came out and showed they were in the decided minority.
What's funny, I mean, it's not funny because this is a sad situation. And it should never have even come out in the public. This is between the family, that girl, and God. And I'll tell you, but to hear all these right-wingers saying the liberals want her dead, the liberals want this, then they're cutting Medicaid, then they're crying about abortion clinics, but then once the children are born and they're welfare children, well, they don't want them to have welfare, so we'll let them starve as kids, cutting out on their food stamps, but by golly, we care. Don't give me that crap, people. You're hypocrites. The Lord Jesus himself called you hypocrites. And you stand there in the name of Jesus, using his name, and you're hypocrites. God help this country. God help us all. Because I'll tell you, we need it.
You're right.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, there's some passions being stirred by this whole episode, and I understand. I fully understand people who don't want Terry Schiavo to die. You know, that's your opinion, that's your belief, and you're welcome to that, and I respect your opinion on that. I do. I don't happen to believe that myself. I think the woman should be allowed to die with dignity. I think 15 years is long enough, and I don't think anybody would choose to live in this manner. But, you know, whether you think that she should live on or whether I think that she should be allowed to pass on, that is not the issue here. It's not the issue at all. It's just what Diane just mentioned. It is the government interference in this. And it wouldn't be so bad if the government was interfering in this for the right motives. But you know they're not, and I know they're not. And you know what this is all about. You know what it started out to be. It started out to be that George W. Bush and the Congress of the United States and Tom DeLay were going to make some political hay off of it. They did make that memo. They did pass it out how this was going to be a bad episode for the Democrats and how they could make political hay off of it. And they tried. Oh, they tried. They've worked it and worked it and worked it, especially Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay should be in jail. He absolutely should be in jail. And I believe Tom DeLay will end up in jail some of these days. But the only reason he got involved and start condemning the Democrats over this and liberal folks is to take the heat off of himself. I still want to ask anybody who's on the right, I want you to call in and I want you to defend Tom DeLay for me. Here's a man that got rid of everybody off the Ethics Committee so they couldn't condemn him anymore. He cleaned him out. Cleaned out the Ethics Committee. Here's a man that's had more ethics violations in the Congress than anybody I can ever remember. He's got three more pending against him right now. And so what's he do? So he doesn't have to say anything in public about it. He cleans out the Ethics Committee with his political power, and now there's not anything anybody can do to him. That's like going to trial, and you got your brother as the judge and your sister as the prosecutor. That's what that boils down to. That's what old Tom's got set up for him. Hey, I think we're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council. The following is a message from George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton.
We're here today because, like you, we share a strong desire to do everything we can to help alleviate the terrible suffering caused by the recent tsunami disaster.
Millions of people have lost loved ones, including children, homes, and in some cases, hope. And though it happened on the other side of the world, it touches our hearts, and we want to help.
The greatest source of America's generosity is the good heart of the American people. And that's why we come to you, not as presidents, but as two private citizens.
Everyone can help, and every dollar contributed will impact someone's life. So visit usafreedomcorps.gov to choose a reputable charity to accept your donations directly. You can trust that your contribution will be well spent.
No one can change what happened.
But we can all change what happens next. Thank you.
To make a cash donation to a reputable charity, visit usafreedomcorps.gov. A PSA brought to you by the Ad Council.
Child obesity rates in the U.S. are increasing at an alarming rate. Proper diet is essential for weight control, and 5 servings of fruit and vegetables each day can make a positive impact. Fresh peaches, plums, and nectarines contain vitamins A and C and potassium and fiber. Parents can help children achieve a healthy diet.
I love it when my mom gives me fresh fruit. It's fun to try her smoothies. And I like it when she makes peanut butter sandwiches with peaches, plums, or nectarines instead of jam.
Attention, baby boomers of America. A message from the American Optometric Association.
By now, your little foray into middle age has introduced you to presbyopia, a loss of close focus. And you've probably run to the drugstore to try on reading glasses. By trial and error. Don't try to be your own eye doctor. Get the reading glasses you really need. See your optometrist. Or you could just learn to live with the headaches and the poor fitting glasses.
Here we go.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Hey, you know, we're back with you, and you can give us a call toll-free, I might add, at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I knew there was another one there. And, of course, if you're here locally, 479-5540. And in Collier County, 263-6570. We want you to call us. We want you to let us know whether you agree or don't agree with what we have to say in this program. Maybe you agree with the callers. Maybe you don't. Call in and get your 2 cents worth. You know, you can do that on this program. We don't have a screener sitting out there telling us which calls to take and which calls not to take. No, sir. We've got a computer screen sitting right in front of us here, and every call that Ron takes, he posts it up on there, their name and where they're from, and just like 4 words, what they want to talk about. And we take them all. So you're welcome to call pro or con what we do on this program, and we're very glad to have you along with us this evening. I do want to take a moment to let you know, all of the folks in this area, my, oh, my, oh, my, we've got the big news, and I told you about it last week. The 2005 gala for the Collier County Democrats, the hope, the future of the Democratic Party, the chairman, Governor Howard Dean, is going to honor us with his presence at our annual gala on Monday, April the 18th at 6 p.m. at the Naples Beach Hotel. Cocktail attire and black tie optional with a cash bar, $100 per person. And you know what? I don't know why I'm bothering to tell you about this other than brag that Howard Dean's coming to Southwest Florida, because those 450 tickets were eaten up like, bam, gone. Gone. I mean gone whammo immediately. It was amazing. Gene, the president of the Collier County Democrats, we announced on this show for the first time publicly last Saturday that the tickets were available. And I thought, you know, that's a lot of tickets to sell down here in Republican heaven. And Gene so said, oh, no, we'll sell those easy. And I'm going, oh, I don't think so. And he moved it from a smaller venue to a bigger venue. Originally, it was going to have about 275, 300 people. And then he says, well, we moved it to a bigger venue. And old guy here is going, oh, boy, I don't know. I don't know. Deal with 450 tickets. Man, that's a lot here in the heart of darkness, Republican territory. Bam, the tickets are gone. They were sucked up like, well, just gone. So, too bad if you didn't get in on that, but we do want you to know this is the first official trip of a party chairman to Southwest Florida, and we are we're absolutely elated about it. And I want to congratulate the folks down in Collier County for pulling that off, because that was a big one, let me tell you. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
Hello there. How are you?
Well, just fine. How about you?
I'm pretty good. I'm here to you and to Diana. You both were excellent on that situation. I do want to say a little something about Dean.
Yes.
I have gotten this just from my local, it used to be, you know, the meetups, you know, from the local meetup for Dean. And anyway, it's talking about Dean being in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And when he was there, they wanted the governor to go along with him, but the governor didn't want to.
Oh, well, that's too bad for the governor.
And anyway, they were talking, they were accusing him of attack ads, and he said, Dean said, I've been called worse things than a liberal.
Hey, they're not going to get Howard Dean's goat. No
the
way.
Reason the Republicans call names is because they have nothing to say about balancing the budget, creating jobs, or doing anything about health care and our education.
Oh, yeah, but they're going to make Social Security all good, aren't they?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about McCain?
Yeah, right.
But anyway, the one thing I wanted to call about the judge in the Schiavo case.
Yes.
Did you hear? I think that they thought that these were all liberal judges.
Well, they shouldn't have said that.
Most of them are, have been appointed by Bush, and most of them are conservatives.
That's right.
And Greer, the main one, he is a conservative Christian and longtime Republican. And his church, asked him to leave. He belongs to a Southern Baptist church. Mm. And they asked him to leave because he said that his pastor wrote him in a letter and said that, let me see here. He says, well, I forgot. I can't find it now. But anyway.
Well, isn't that just like him, though?
He said, I hope you can find a way to side with the angels and become an answer to the prayers of thousands. It's the Calvary Baptist pastor, William Rice, I guess in Clearwater. That's where Greer lives.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, they've babbled on all week about these activist judges, and you're absolutely right, Juanita. Almost all the judges that ruled in any of these cases up to the 11th District in federal court and state court here, they're all conservative Republicans.
Yeah, and it's including the one that went through the filibuster that Bush appointed, when they couldn't stop him. I forget his name.
Yeah, well, they're... It's this judge. That's what this thing is all about.
Yeah.
It's really all about the judges coming up, the vote.
I think that's why some of them have backed off, don't you?
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay.
Thanks, Juanita, for your call.
Okay.
Hey, you know, Juanita brings up a great point. If these fundy Christian wackos aren't happy with the conservative judges they have now, and they're calling them activist judges, what kind of judges is it that they're trying to put in? You know, they're trying to put their stamp of wacko right-wing Christianity on the government for 40 years to come. They're going to stack the court with as many hardcore, really right-wing extremist judges as they can. You know, these were reasonable men. This Judge Greer, he's got a wonderful record of being impartial and nonpartisan. But he is, make no mistake about it, a conservative Republican appointed by a Republican, as are many of these judges up in the 11th District, federal district in Atlanta. So if the Christian fundamentalist wackos aren't satisfied with the very conservative judges they've got now, my God, what kind of judges do they want? Well, you know what kind of judges they want. That's why this fight coming up over the judges, federal judges, is so important. And I think you're going to see a real Donnybrook over this. And let me tell you something. If they find a way to stop the Democrats from filibustering this, which the Democrats have every right to do, if they find a way to do that, that's been to be the most un-American group of Republican congressional people that we've had in this country. They want it all their way. And these Christian fundamentalists, and hey, I'm not knocking Christians. I'm a Christian myself. But these extremists are leading us down a road to ruin. And it scares me. It really does. Let's go to, let's go on over and talk to Carl in Fort Myers. Hi, Carl.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I agree with you about the political aspects of this thing, a delay in George Bush coming from his Texas ranch to sign something.
George Bush, back in 2001, George Bush had been warned in August that the people eventually involved in 9/11 had some warning about it. Did he fly home from his ranch then? No.
But what I'm talking about is they woke him up at midnight to come back to Congress to sign this bill they passed through the Congress.
Yeah.
Concerning. Schiavo case.
Yes.
And I'd like you, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but I've heard this on a couple of television stations in the media news, but not in newspapers. And when he was governor of Texas, I believe it was 1999, I could be off a year or so, he signed into law in Texas a law that if you were on a life support system, and you could not pay for the care of your relative or child or whatever it was.
Right.
They were allowed to remove the system from your, simply because, as I understand the law, that you could not afford to pay for it.
That's exactly right.
Now, nobody, I rarely see it mentioned, I've never seen it mentioned in a newspaper. Once in a while, one of these talk show, like, one of the talking heads on the talk shows will bring it up, but it's not publicized. And here's this, that is about as hypocritical as you can get, to get out of bed from his ranch in Texas, which generally that's where he is. I mean, it seems like he's never in office. And he come home at midnight, from midnight, to Washington to sign this bill into law, which, of course, said shove it,
Sure.
But, I just wish somebody would research that and see, exactly what it means and what's going on.
Well, you have come to the right place, Carl, because I researched that entire bill, read the entire bill from 1999 in Texas.
Okay, can you tell me what it exactly says?
Yes, it stated in there that... originally, it stated that the people had 3 days after the patient being deemed irretrievable, their life is they're not going to come back.
Right.
That they had 3 days to make arrangements to take them to another hospital that would accept them and possibly try some other medical procedures with them. They had 3 days. If they didn't find some place they could transfer them to within 3 days, that hospital that they were in presently was allowed to pull the plug. Now, Bush signed that, and they tried to push that this week. And so they changed it from 3 days to 10 days. That's all they changed. And so they look at this week, and McClellan comes out and says, well, Mr. Bush has been very, very consistent on this matter because he voted for life in that bill in Texas in 1999. What he did was give him another week to pull the plug. He read the bill. He could have said, whoa, wait a minute. Because this person's poor, we're going to pull the plug, and that's
right.
The reason, because they're poor. But
right.
No, he didn't do that. He gave him another 7 days. That's
here
all.
Here we have a lady that's been on, I feel sorry for both sides of the family.
Sure.
But she's been on this life support system for 15 years. And they say that it's not right to remove it from her, even though there's quite a bit of evidence that she requested that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they pulled every trick it's possible to pull in the book. I've never seen... But anyway, one encouraging note here, and I'll get off the line. At least... I noticed in the papers and on the news that his ratings dropped from 52% to 45% when this went through.
That's the lowest they've been for him.
And I think probably that some of these congressmen that pull this shenanigan, I call it.
Sure.
Probably in the next election, people are going to say, look, I mean, 82% of the people say this is wrong to interfere with this. So I think some of them are going to have a tough time at the polls.
Well, I think so, too. And, speaking of polls, Carl, and thank you for the call. Speaking of the polls, they always accuse Bill Clinton of looking at the polls and running his whole administration through the polls. Tell me these guys don't. I don't know how many of you know this. I'm sure most of you do. That Wednesday, in a St. Petersburg Time reported this whole deal with all sorts of interviews and actual quotes in it. As of Wednesday... Jeb Bush had a team of state agents ready to raid that hospice and take control of Terri Schiavo, move her to another place, and have the tube reinserted. Okay, that was Wednesday. Judge Greer found out about it and specifically said that no sheriff or no public person in Florida was allowed to do that, and that would have made anybody that did it in contempt of court. But Jeb Bush still would have done that. But isn't it odd that Wednesday's the day the polls all came out on this thing and showed that anywhere from 70 to 80% of the people, depending on which poll you look at, were against what Bush was doing, against politics being inserted into this. Oh, my. And Tom DeLay, how he was mouthing off about it earlier. Of course, you can't believe a word Tom DeLay says if he swore on a stack of Bibles. But we have George Bush, and we have Jeb Bush, we have Tom DeLay, all of them saying, boy, they're really really tough on this whole thing. They're really going to protect Jerry Schiavo. How much have you heard him say since those polls came out? Practically nothing. They've backed off of it almost completely. They're hypocrites to the very highest order. You know, it just makes me so angry when I think about those people wanting to take advantage of this poor woman. Here we had Hannity, and I know we're talking about it on this program tonight, but we didn't get to the ghoulish ways of it that some people did. We have Hannity over there broadcasting his radio show live from in front of the hospice. And, you know, there was a circus over there with circus freaks, and I don't know how much of it you saw this week. I saw a lot of it, and it was just awful. And they have no concern for the other people in that hospice at all. These people that want to go, you know, they don't give a damn about quality of life, just that she's living. But how many of you heard the story of the problems that were being caused over there by these people that wanted to save her life in Pinellas Park? Outside the hospice, Jennifer Johnson, and I'll read this, that came from Pinellas Park. Jennifer Johnson, barefoot and in her pajamas, ran to her grandfather's bedside once a hospice worker said his death was moments away. She got there 1 minute too late. Johnson said the chaos outside the hospice where Terry Schiavo was dying kept her from saying goodbye to her grandfather. When Johnson arrived, a police officer demanded identification. She had none. And after a hospice employee cleared her, another officer halted her for a search with a metal detector. The delays lasted 3 to 4 minutes, right up to the end of her grandfather's life. She said it's a terrible extra obstacle to put in front of a family. Everything is about Schiavo, Johnson said. It's all about her. And in my family's case, it cost us dearly, and it's costing everybody that's in that hospice. Make no mistake about it. And if you think these people stand for the quality of life and for the culture of life, that they like to say, you know, I really resent when they talk that way. You all know that by now that a man has been arrested for a threat against Michael Schiavo. They've got 24-hour security on Judge Greer. Friday, a man was arrested and charged with offering a $250,000 reward for killing Michael Schiavo. Richard Ann Mywes was arrested in Fairview, North Carolina by the FBI and the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office. On March 23rd, the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office forwarded an email to the FBI in Tampa, which purportedly offered a $250,000 bounty on the head of Michael Schiavo. The email placed an additional $50,000 bounty for the elimination of a judge who recently denied a request to intervene in the Schiavo case. Culture of life, yes. That's what they're all about. And we're going to talk a little bit later about this great man, Randall Terry, who has been the spokesman. Let's talk about him right now. Randall Terry, the spokesman for the Schindler family. What a rat this guy is. And yet he's been on Fox News, and we're going to talk about Fox in a little while. He's been on Fox News being the spokesman. He's been everywhere. He's got more FaceTime than, oh, man. But how many of you know that he ran a little organization called Operation Rescue? How much do you know about this Randall Terry that's out there being so pious and Mr. Clean in front of the cameras? You know, under Terry's leadership, Operation Rescue staged aggressive protest of abortion clinics, including screaming and pleading with pregnant women to turn away, tossing their bodies against car doors to keep abortion patients from getting out, and waving crucifixes and screaming, "Mommy, Mommy," at the women. He's been arrested 40 times in front of abortion clinics. What else here? He called Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger a whore and an adulteress, and arranged to have a dead fetus presented to Bill Clinton at the 1992 Democratic National Convention. Some of the nice statements he's made on radio appearances talking about abortion provider Dr. Warren Hearn. Terry said, and I quote, "I hope someday he is tried for crimes against humanity, and I hope he is executed." The Times added that coming just 5 months after an anti-abortion protester, Michael Griffin, shot and killed the doctor, David Gunn, in Florida, Mr. Terry's words were construed by many abortion right groups as a call to violence. And then they went to court against him. for damaging abortion clinics and so forth, and got a big judgment against him, and he filed bankruptcy to avoid paying massive debts. And he also filed bankruptcy, and I don't know how this works, but he filed bankruptcy and got out of paying child support. So this is a really nice guy. You know, he fits in perfectly with this crowd. He really does. And I'm not talking about, again, I want to differentiate between the two. I'm not talking about this crowd that necessarily wants Terri Schiavo to live. That's a deeply personal decision, no matter how you feel about it. I'm talking about the people who are injecting politics into this. They're the despicable ones. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy. I can hear you good tonight.
Thank you.
I want to say something about the Republican propaganda machine. You know, this judge out in the 9th District of California, the one that tried to get God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, was appointed by a Republican president. And oh, how the Republicans wish that it was Bill Clinton so they could demonize him.
You're right. I agree.
And another thing, President Bush has actually said he's going to cut the budget in half, which is laughable after he's ruined the economy and what he's doing. And when you listen to the Republicans, every time they talk about what they're going to cut out, they use the word duplicative and inefficient program. And what that means in my book is it doesn't help the powerful. That's all it means. Any money taken from the taxpayer to help the powerful is a good thing. Anything that might help somebody in the middle class or the poor people is going to get cut. That's what I think is going to happen.
Exactly right. It is happening, Bill. It is.
You kind of stole my thunder on Sean Hannity. I can't believe what a lowlife he was to go down there and ingratiate himself to the family and sit there, and every time the bad news for the family would come in, he'd look at one of them and say, oh, I guess this is a tough day for you. I think this is really going to hurt him, Guy, because even the Kool-Aid drinkers are going to look at Sean Hannity and see what a showboat he is.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of him and trying to think who else it was, one of the right-wing talkers. Ron, have you got that cut in there? I'll get to that in just one second. Sean Hannity this week had every liar in the world on his program concerning this. But to back up his point of view that Terri Schiavo could be completely rehabilitated is pretty much what he's saying. He had this doctor, this so-called doctor, and he is a doctor from the Mayo Clinic up in Jacksonville. That's a branch of the real Mayo Clinic. But he had him on his program saying, yes, this woman could be rehabilitated. That he had examined her. He really didn't do a real examination. But to bolster his side of this, Hannity said this is a Nobel Prize,
which was a bone-faced lie.
And they hit it over and over and over again. Play that cut for us, Ron.
We're going to talk to a doctor who spent 10 hours with her tonight, and he says that he believes, in his expert opinion, this is a man that was nominated.
Your mic is still hot.
That she could be really rehabilitated. And coming up later in the program tonight, we're going to meet a doctor who actually spent 10 hours examining Terri Schiavo. He was nominated himself for a Nobel Prize. He believes that she could be rehabilitated. You were nominated for a Nobel Prize in medicine?
Yes.
In 1999?
Right.
You're nominated to get a Nobel Peace Prize in this very work. Are you saying that this woman could be rehabilitated?
Absolutely.
Then how is it possible we are in this position? If you have examined her, you were up for a Nobel Prize. This is mind-boggling to me. What I want to understand, this is your area of expertise that got you nominated for one of the most prestigious awards in medicine, the Nobel Prize.
Wait a second. If I had the opportunity, I'd talk to anybody.
And talk to a Nobel Prize-nominated physician who spent 10 hours with her, who believes that given the opportunity, he can rehabilitate her? Imagine being in his position and having a guy like a Nobel Prize nominee like Dr. Hammersford, who I'm looking at right now, who spent 10 hours with her and feels that given the chance, he could rehabilitate this girl.
And a Nobel Prize nominated urologist who's treated Terri Schiavo. He says Terry should live and that her husband's perpetrating a hoax that's just aimed at killing his wife.
Joe Scarborough.
I'm
right.
Talking with a Nobel Prize nominated urologist who has treated Terri Schiavo, and he says her husband is pulling a huge hoax simply to kill his wife. Coming up, the Nobel Prize nominated neurologist who's treating Terri Schiavo says her husband is pulling a hoax. So what is Terri Schiavo's true medical condition? Here to help us sort it out is Dr. William Hammersfar. He's a neurologist who was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his work in medicine. He's one of the doctors who's treated Terri Schiavo.
What do you think about that?
Thank God for liberal radio. Nobody would even know about that. That was a lie.
Man, you talk about a couple of liars. Scarborough and Hannity just made fools of themselves.
Well, you know, I can't wait till Monday because, you know, Hannity will be back on the air, and I'm sure he'll be standing there with that little altar boy face of his to apologize to for lying to the whole country about something.
Yeah, probably the only place you're going to hear it is right here.
I agree. Another thing, last week, you know, I have no use for Tom DeLay. I think he should be in jail just like you do. But last week I almost called and said that this disaster for this Schiavo family is a godsend to Tom DeLay because it's going to get the light off of him and he can crawl in the corner and nobody will think about him. But I didn't call it in because I couldn't even do that to him. And now I found out that he went in front of a Christian group and actually used those same words that Terry Schiavo was sent by God at this time so that the country can see that the Republican conservatives are under attack in this country. So that's your friend Tom DeLay for you Republicans out there. How you can support somebody like that? He's going to pull you down. So cut your losses and get rid of him, please.
Hey, Bill, you're absolutely right. Thanks for your call.
All right, and keep it up, guys. Thank you.
We got news coming up at the bottom of the hour. Not news, actually. We got a break we have to go to. Yeah, Mr. Hannity, you made an ass of yourself there, and so did you, Joe Scarborough. You're both liars that can't be depended on for the truth, no matter what. You wouldn't know the truth if it hit you in the face, either one of you. A couple of Republican propagandists. That's all you are. That's all you're good for. And yet you got people lapping it up. I feel sorry for them. You listen to the Guy James Show, Wink, WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers, and Naples, Florida. We'll be back after this.
Restoring the liberal media. The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Greg Jarrett. Just minutes ago, the Florida Supreme Court dismissed yet another attempt by Terry Schiavo's parents to have their brain-damaged daughter's feeding tube reconnected. This after a Florida district court judge denied a request to have the tube reinserted. Yet another defeat for Schiavo's parents. Now the question is Terry in pain or at peace? Well, her brother says his sister is not resting comfortably, contrary to what Michael Schiavo's attorney may say. Again, just minutes ago, the Florida Supreme Court dismissed another attempt by Terry Schiavo's parents to have their daughter's feeding tube reconnected. A holy day without the pontiff. Some expect Pope John Paul II to appear at tomorrow's Easter Mass. Fox's Greg Palcott is covering the Pope in Rome. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. True View, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Now, when you talk trucks, it's hard to talk about the all-new Nissan Titan without using words like powerful, beautiful, comfortable, rugged, tough, sturdy. And that's why, every day, people pay $25 to $30K. Sutherland Nissan in 2004 sold more new Nissans than ever before. We're going to get bigger in 2005, because at Sutherland, you can drive home your big, bad, bodacious V8 Titan King Cab XE. $18,988, are you kidding me? Loaded stereo CD, automatic and air, good truck stuff everywhere. $18,988, Naples, are you listening? And Dennis, I'm talking to you. If there was ever a real steal a truck deal, this is it. Your all new rock solid loaded V8 Titan King Cab XE, $18,988. Waiting for you right now. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. New Titan V8 King Cab XE, $18,988 at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Fins 520-497-519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
The environment we've created for ourselves has given pests the opportunity to create serious public health issues. Mosquitoes may transmit West Nile virus.
Cockroaches can trigger asthma.
Insect stings force 500,000 people to the emergency room
every year.
And rodents could spread Hansa virus.
But we can make it harder for these pests to survive.
To learn how, visit pestworld.org.
Except all of us, you know.
Presenting
30 seconds.
1-800-BED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-BED-INFO for government information. 2002, Tom Dunleavy calls for student loan information.
Wait, something's wrong. That was too easy.
And 2004, Nicole Haddad requests info on starting a small business.
At last, a store in Peoria devoted entirely to parachute pants.
Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-BED-INFO. It's government made easy.
America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, you are listening to the Guy James Show, and we're glad you are this evening. We've got a lot to talk about this evening. Coming up this half hour, at the bottom of the hour, actually, we're going to have Tyson Slocum. He's a research director at a major think tank in Washington, D.C. Going to talk about how we're getting snookered on these gas prices. Believe me, he knows. And we just finished up that hour talking about, the last hour, talking about, well, just talking about this doctor that Hannity and everybody on the right, Fox News had him on wall-to-wall this week, supposedly was a Nobel Prize nominee. You know who nominated him? No, not the studio audience said Bugs Bunny. No, it wasn't Bugs Bunny. It was some Florida legislator wrote a letter to the Nobel Committee. There are 3,000 people that are allowed to come up with nominations for Nobel, and unfortunately, this Florida legislator isn't one. And he wanted to have him give him a Nobel Prize for medicine, which there isn't one, from what I understand. So that's what that was worth. It's worth absolutely nothing. And it's by the way, I do want you to give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, 479-5540 locally, and 263-6570 if you're calling from Naples, Florida. So, hey, let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Chris in Naples. Hi, Chris.
How you doing? You just covered what I wanted to say.
Ah.
That he was nominated by Michael Bilirakis.
Yeah, just one problem with Michael Bilirakis. Yeah, the only problem is Mr. Bilirakis has got no pull with
right.
the Nobel.
That doesn't make Sean Hannity a liar or
it doesn't?
No, because if someone represents that on their resume, then on the face of it, and I'm looking at the letter on the internet right now.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make them a liar.
How is that?
Because they are not willfully telling a falsehood. I'm purposely telling a falsehood.
Okay, so Hannity had this on 10 or 12 times on his program. It comes out.
Did he purposely do it, you think? You think he knew that he wasn't really a nominee?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, come on.
You don't believe Sean Hannity anything he says, do you?
Do you think that he purposely lied?
Oh, absolutely. How could you say any other way? He wanted to bolster his argument with a Nobel Prize nominee. Sean's done this kind of thing constantly. constantly. And if you don't think he lied, after it came out, that you know, I pointed it out and put it all over the internet about this guy being not being a Nobel Prize winner. And then Joe Scarborough comes up with it too. You think he didn't know?
No.
Oh man, how dense do you think these guys are?
I'm looking right at the facts. I'm looking at the fact that you don't check everybody's resume who shows up on your show.
I most certainly do.
Oh, come on.
I most certainly do. You think I'm going to have some kind of a crackpot come on this show?
Yeah, and tell every Saturday night.
I don't have a guest every week.
No, there's a crackpot on the show every Saturday night.
No, I'm afraid not.
Okay.
You don't know what you're talking about. It was a flat-out lie. You know it. I know it. You know Hannity couldn't tell the truth if it hit him in the face. He doesn't know the truth.
Okay. Well, would you like to go to lunch with me one day?
I doubt it.
Well, you have Republican friends, and I think we could have a fine time. You said you have Republican friends.
I have Republican friends that aren't wacky Republican friends, I can tell you that, that would look at what Sean Hannity said and say he's a liar.
Okay.
I know lots of Republicans that think Sean Hannity is nothing but a BSer, and he gets away with it all the time. You know why he gets away with it? Because nobody points it out.
Okay.
There isn't anybody to point it out. Thanks for your call, Chris, and thanks for the invite. You know, I don't care which side you're on. It's become abundantly clear that many of those on the religious right are just plain nuts. And some of their beliefs absolutely border on insanity. And I'm telling you this as a Methodist Christian myself, lifelong. But some of their beliefs on these wacko religious right extremists, it does border on insanity. And their actions in this Schiavo case have shown millions of people in America that many of them aren't dealing with a full deck. You see where many of them sent their kids? Their kids, you saw this on TV this week, from out of state to go to the hospice where Terry Schiavo resides and try and take cups of water through the barricade. You know, of course, they made sure the cameras were rolling and made arrangements with the Pinellas police to have the kids peaceably arrested and handcuffed. You know, they must be so proud. Sending little 8-year-old Susie and 10-year-old Johnny to be put in a paddy wagon with handcuffs on because of some misguided ideas from their idiotic, fanatical parents. You know, those parents ought to be locked up for child abuse. But here they are sending the kiddies to jail while proud mom and dad look on. Oh, my. Some parents look at their kids as being good scholars. Some of them look at their kids as being really good in sports or being good in this or that. But these parents are glad to send their kids to go in a paddy wagon with handcuffs on. You suppose they got those bumper stickers on the back? My kid went to jail with handcuffs on. You suppose they have those? You know, religious, someone who pulls a stunt like that calls himself religious, I don't think so. Oh, you can call me judgmental if you like, but I've seldom seen an act of cowardice so pathetic and grandstanding, using their kids in that manner. On the other hand, they were trying to make a political statement. They were trying to show America that it is the Christian right who are the good, moral people. They were the ones who wanted to save Terry Schiavo, while the rest of us, we liberals, of course, are a bunch of heathen killers. What matters to them if the nation has gone to hell in a handbasket? Because after all, they'll be leaving soon when the rapture comes. And they'll watch the rest of us be tortured by God with boils and rains of fire. That's what they believe, and they think it's coming any day now. You know, we who don't believe that way, the way they do, we're going straight to the fires of hell, along with the Jews, of course. Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, they'll be in these flowing white robes. Think about it. Visualize this if you can. You know, Jerry and Pat Robertson and Dobson, they got these flowing white robes on. Maybe a crown, I don't know. You know, they're leading these people up, up, up into heaven. But not before seeing the rest of us burning and screaming in agony, torn limb for limb and other really nasty stuff, along with the Jews, of course. If that isn't the mindset of a bunch of psychopaths, I don't know what is. Did you hear that her parents said in court that this whole mess is going to make Terry have to stay extra time in purgatory and be damned? Did you hear her parents say that? And you wonder why a judge didn't listen to some of the things they said? You know, I thought that was particularly a nice sentiment coming from this helpless girl's parents. Yes, sir. And I'm convinced these holy rolling snake worshiping, speaking in tongues fanatics are nuttier than a bunch of fruitcakes. And they came out in force this past week. And they're even threatening violence. Good Christian folks, of course, threatening violence against the judge and Michael Schiavo. I've often wondered how many of those who write the disgusting, threatening, vile emails I get attend church on Sunday morning and throw themselves on the floor and speak in tongues. I used to wonder what they were saying when they did that. Now I think I know. They're probably asking whomever they pray to put me and my liberal friends in the front of the line for all that burning in hell stuff. Frankly, if the good Lord has a choice between me and them, I'll take my chances. But the big question here is, doesn't it scare you, all of my Republican friends? Doesn't it just scare you that these crazies are becoming a big influence with Bush and his cronies? Frankly, to think these people have got a say in how this country's being run scares hell out of me. Let's go to John Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. Excuse me, but hasn't she been in purgatory? She'll probably go straight to heaven. Public Radio did an interview with a lot of different religions this morning, and most of them object to what these people have been doing for the last 15 years because it has slowed her, if you're Buddhist or coming back, reincarnated, other people feel that she's been denied getting her better life and greater reward. All the religions teach that we go to a better place. And she's been denied that for 15 years. And Randall Terry, this guy, you know, he's got a son who's gay, and he doesn't talk to him at all. I think he has a Muslim daughter-in-law. He doesn't talk to her at all. And maybe that's why he was confused when he said that, you know, when Christ was on the cross, they gave him water to drink. Well, if you read the Bible, they gave him a sponge with wine in it. Vinegar.
Vinegar, yes.
So Randall Terry doesn't know his Bible. Neither do these people in Washington. I watched the hearings with Paul Wolfowitz, and they were discussing the pay for our troops. And it seems that Paul Wolfowitz has never read Luke 16, the parable of the unjust steward. And because he didn't want to pay everybody the same pay. If you were in a Humvee getting shot at, you'd get one pay. If you were just back at your barracks, you'd get another pay. And, of course, he says, you know, if we pay all these guys the same amount of money, it's going to run the budget up so high it's just impossible. So here we have these religious rights in our Congress, in our presidency, the whole works, and they're not reading the Bible that I'm reading. They'd have read Luke 14:20-32 before they got into Iraq. It deals with that very well in there. And I mentioned this to a person. You know, I'm reading these in the Bible, and I don't see these guys following it. And he says, well, it's because they're using the Old Testament, not the New Testament. They don't really believe in what Jesus said. And, of course, Jesus was a terrible liberal. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
He was just a very awful liberal.
They'd have him executed if he was around today.
Oh, it'd be done all over again.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm looking at this whole situation. We've got government interfering in our business, and all the polls show that, and then the guys on the afternoon and the evening shows, these talking heads, well, you can't trust those polls because it's the way you ask the question. But when it's in their favor, the polls are okay. Nothing wrong with them. And everybody that I've seen that's been involved in this has their own little agenda that they're pushing. Randall Terry has been raising money for years over the Internet and every place else for this Terry Schiavo thing.
Oh, yeah.
I heard a call-in show, in the afternoon on Saturday, where the host was talking by phone to a lady who was ahead of the Terry Schiavo organization or club or something. And you know damn well they've been raising money. These Schiavos have probably made a lot of money off this misery of their daughter. And then, of course, we have our people up in Washington who thought, well, and see, this is the arrogance of power, the arrogance of the Republicans. We're going to take this cause on, and their talking points even say, this is going to hurt the Democrats. We can make hay out of this. And all of a sudden, these polls come out and show them that you made a mistake, because we don't want you getting involved in our business.
That's right.
In our affairs. Now, they did a review of the courts tonight, or the Constitution and the courts on public radio, and apparently these courts, these federal courts that are set up, the Ninth District and all the rest, they've been set up by Congress. So Congress has some power over these courts. And one of the informations that was given tonight is Well, the Republicans are going to use this as fodder to change the district court system because they don't like the judges there. Then, of course, you have Tom DeLay, who in a room full of friends, apparently one of them wasn't, tape recorded him saying, "This is a gift from God to me to take the attention off the heat that people are putting on me." But there's a wonderful man. That's a sign of a real wonderful guy right there.
No Republican wants to talk about him, do they?
No, they just don't want to talk about this. And you'd think a decent Republican would be embarrassed by this. They would go after this man. They'd get him out of the spotlight at least, or get him out of the whole damn Republican Party if they could.
Oh, yeah.
And as far as the Democrats go, well, I was kind of upset that the Democrats even went back for that vote. Why a lot of them just wouldn't say, look, this is something that we can't deal with. The government shouldn't be involved with people's business. I really admire the Democrats for what they've done, even going in there, Barney Frank and all of them, standing and taking the stand they have. I don't think it's going to hurt them. I think they look better to me. They knew this was a bad situation that they shouldn't get involved with, but they did have to put up some kind of say against these Republicans. But I think they're going to really use this to their advantage. If these guys start playing those tapes when they're trying to run for election, well, look what I did for Terry Schiavo. And the Democrats are just going to really nail him to the cross on that one.
Oh, and look what Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist did for him.
Oh.
My goodness, he's done this this examination and this diagnosis in absentia. And,
oh,
you know, that's a real trick. If you can do that, you might be nominated for that Nobel Prize in Medicine.
Well, how many thousands of dollars could all of us that are ill save if we just sent Bill Frist a tape and asked him for a diagnosis? It would
be
wonderful.
Oh, sure.
Then on the Lair Hour, I hear these guys mulling this over, and of course both these guys, the Democrat and the Republican guy, both feel that the Republicans have hurt themselves badly. But it was brought out that Frist, when he has time off from Congress, he goes over to third world countries and performs surgeries and so forth like that.
Well, good.
Yeah, good for him. Well, you know, if he really wanted to help people, he wouldn't have even run for office. He'd keep doing that and going to these places where he thinks he's helping people. But in my view, all he's doing that for is to get more political points so people say, oh, he's a nice guy, I'm going to vote for him. Meanwhile, they lose sight of the fact that he had and his father had Hospital Corporation of America, which were making profits out of people's miseries and sufferings.
That's right.
This is never brought out, but they sure tried to grill Edwards because he was a lawyer that went to bat for people that couldn't fight for themselves and tried to get some relief for them and did. And, of course, did make money in the process because that's what happens in America. We're a capitalistic system.
That's right.
But to stand this Bill Frist, and of course he's running for president in 2008, so you don't have to worry about who are we going to run. This guy is President Bush's little suck-up, and they got him in line for that. But it's nice to see that they're ruining themselves on these issues. I hope they'll pick a few stupid issues again to do, and I hope that the American people will wake up. And perhaps, you know, if the Democrats can just start lying as well as the Republicans, they might stand a real good chance.
You're right. Hey, thanks for your call, Don. Speaking of that, I'm going to take a very, very short commercial break right now. And so come right back right after this very short commercial. Well, I thought we were going to have a commercial here.
This message brought to you by the Republican National Committee. Say, folks, if you're suffering from an undiagnosed illness, we've got the answer for you. Why spend mucho bucks going to a specialist when Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist can diagnose your illness for you for only $19.95? That's right, only $19.95, and your troubles can be over. Mr. Frist can diagnose your problems from a video or even a Polaroid picture. Do you have one of those newfangled camera phones? That's even better because you can get your instant prognosis quicker. That's right, only $19.95 for a limited time only. But wait, there's more.
For the first 500 callers, we're going to give you two diagnoses for the price of one. That's right. Buy one, get one absolutely free. Both gallstones and gout for one low, low price. Herpes and hernias, only $19.95. Act now, and we're going to include a special bonus. We're going to include, at no extra cost, Dr. Bill Frist's hot-selling new book, The History of Hemorrhoids, absolutely free. Get out your credit card now and call 1-800-I'M-A-QUACK. That's 1-800-I'M-A-QUACK. Call now.
Well, and we're back after that short commercial break. That's about the shortest commercial break we've had all evening, but we're glad you are back with us here. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570. Say that guy on that, you know, that 1995, that sounds pretty good. It usually costs, I don't know, what's an office call now, about $125? And then he's going to send you through a bunch of tests and all that. You can't, if you're going to have a bunch of tests trying to find out what's wrong with you nowadays, especially something neurological, I'd say with the office call and the test you're going to have $700-800 in that real easy. For so, you know, that 1995 deal, that sounds pretty good to me. So, I'm going to make sure I get out the old Brownie camera when I get home tonight and take a couple pictures, send them in, and see what Bill thinks about it. You know, you can't beat that 1995. You just can't. We're going to go to Dave in Northern California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. I wish you'd broken into commercial radio with a more tasteful commercial. That was...
Yeah.
I had been holding, and much of what I was wanting to say has been said, but in essence, and you're observing it too, it does appear that the Republicans have not done themselves all the good that they had hoped for with this particular scheme, but on the contrary, they seem to have some places, like around here, it's 90% of the people saying the government's totally wrong on this one. So,
well, they definitely missed a boat on it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're backing down.
They are indeed. The one thought that I've been dabbling a lot in, and I've sent it to you too, is the... question of why these greedy neocons feel the need to literally decimate the citizenry. And I guess it's something that I can put it together in their makeup, too. That's their nature. Meaning in life is to take, and take as much as they can. I don't know how far it'll go. I've been wondering, is there ever going to be a point where they'll say, well, we've taken enough. We've got to leave a little bit for the people.
Enough, Dave. Enough. They'll save some crumbs to feed us with, that's all.
Yeah, that was my conclusion, too. I love your program, Guy.
Thank you, Dave.
Stay with it,
Glad
buddy.
To have you along with us this evening.
Thank you.
Let's take a trip over to Cape Coral, Florida, and talk to John. Hi, John.
Hello, Guy. Hello?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you a little different take on it, if I can.
Sure.
I think this is done for a purpose. Have you ever gone to a magic show?
Maybe when I was a kid.
All right. The magician does all sorts of things, so he diverts your attention to what he's really doing?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I'm going to suggest this circus is diverting attention. I think there is a purpose behind all of this. How many people died in Iraq this week?
Well, by my count this week, there must have been somewhere around 12.
12 Americans?
Americans, and who God only knows how many Iraqis.
But we're not worried about that, are we?
No.
Have you heard that discussed?
No. None of that matters. And, you know, for that matter, the killing up at, what is it, Red Lake, Minnesota? That didn't matter either.
No, okay. And you brought up that you might have somebody discussing the price that we're paying at the gas pumps?
Yep, in just a few minutes we're going to talk to him.
And I saw in the Wall Street Journal that Bush says he's not going to do anything because this is just capitalism at work?
Will you hear our guests to see if you think it's capitalism at work?
But I'm suggesting to you, nobody's paying attention. We're all paying attention to...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anything but.
And the question of Medicare, the question of Social Security, anybody discussing that?
No, it's...
I mean, the discussion, you know, all our quality of life is going down. Are we discussing that?
Not at all.
Do you think they've done a good job?
Oh, sure. I mean, they're really good at this. I mean, the diversion is the name of the game. They're the best there ever was, John.
I mean, that's my point to you, and I'm not disagreeing with a word you've said or your most of your callers have said. I think there are one or two who I would wonder at who particularly like Sean Hannity because I think this man is a piece of work. But I think there's a purpose behind all this. I don't think this is frivolous. And I think it's done the job. It's taken us away from the real issues of what's hitting this country. And you know one of the beautiful things, Guy, if you read the news press, our little local newspaper here, and I know you have a national audience, I think it was Thursday, the letters to the editor, every one of them took Bush apart. And they said, if he really cared about life, he'd care about all those American boys dying in the wreck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That they, you know, to think that these guys care about anything like that anymore, I think, you know, they just don't. I've got no faith in their humanity and their compassion. I have no faith in that whatsoever. I don't believe it ever.
You know, I mean, this is just a ready-made case that they have exploited to their own ends. And I don't think they give a fig whether this lady lives or dies. But they have made a cause out of this. They diverted our attention from the real issues. You know, the Romans used to do this with their circuses. And
yes.
I'm suggesting this has been a circus with a purpose. And I think one of the suggestions I have, and maybe I'm way off, is maybe this, you know, the group that's supposed to be the opposition group, the Democrats, and yes, they should have come out a lot stronger, but they should be also pointing out some of these other things that are going on in this country that we should be uniting against, particularly this war in Iraq.
Well, TV rules and the soundbite rules, and they are the masters. There's never been anybody like them. No regime in history has done a better job of fooling people than this one. It's that simple.
And I think people had better look at it because I think the real issue of the day is this war in Iraq that's not ending. If we've lost 12 Americans in 1 week, that's an awful lot of young Americans whose lives have been lost needlessly. And here we are worrying about this woman in a vegetative state. And here are these young men who are alive and vibrant and not in a vegetative state, and nobody seems to care. And I think that's the real crime of this whole situation. And maybe I'm wrong. But
you're
that's
not wrong,
I
John. You're not wrong at all. Where are these people out protesting that about these 12 soldiers getting killed this week? Why didn't they picket the Pentagon, for God's sake? But no, they got to be up in Pinellas Park, Florida, picketing over a lady that's, for all intents and purposes, has been gone for 15 years.
And yet we're talking about the value of life and how many more lives will be lost in a war that we're not winning. Where democracy, they still haven't got a government that's functioning over there. And yet we have this wonderful thing of democracy taking hold. I mean, who are we kidding? The only thing we're doing is diverting attention. It's a magic act. And that's my contention on this. And I think we've been fooled.
Oh, you're right, John. I agree completely. That's what it's all about. And I think we're going to find out more about why this diversion took. This is a startup for them on this judgeship thing that's coming up soon. They're going to use this as a springboard to go for that. Got to move along, John.
But, in other words, what you're saying, if they don't have their judges, Guy, we can't listen to a judge. What does that say for us? And
yeah,
I thank
right.
you for your time.
They're going to be the judges from now on. That's what they want. Thank you, John.
Take care.
Here we're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we are going to have Tyson Slocum along with us. He's the research director at Public Citizen in Washington, D.C., and he'll be with us as soon as we come back from the break. Stay with us.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello.
Hi.
Are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
He's up on two.
A child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Experts report that adult-onset diabetes has soared by more than a third in the last 10 years. The most common dental problems of diabetes are dry mouth, tooth decay, periodontal disease, and taste impairment. Dry mouth is when the body doesn't produce enough saliva. A healthy flow of saliva is needed to wash away food particles and cut down on tooth decay. To relieve dry mouth, consider using sugarless gum or mints and take frequent sips of water. Cut down on caffeine and restrict your use of alcohol. Diabetics may also experience taste impairment. The ability to taste sweet foods is diminished. This may influence food choices where patients eat foods very high in sugar and carbohydrate content. This may affect dental and overall health. Be sure to practice good oral hygiene by brushing twice a day, flossing daily, and getting regular dental checkups. Ask your dentist if you have any questions. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez-Howell. To find out more about your dental health, visit ADA online at ada.org.
As a child, I spent a lot of time at the big
office building.
Just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to finish my education. So she dropped me off the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you here with the Guy James Show, and we welcome everybody that's along with us this evening, everybody listening here locally, and everybody on the internet across America and around the world. So we're so glad to have you along with us this evening. Let me give out the phone numbers again. It's 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 down Naples Way. I promised you earlier that I was going to have an expert about the price of gasoline on, and right now I'd like to introduce a gentleman who is the research director for Public Citizen in Washington, D.C. I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Tyson Slocum. Tyson, are you with us? Well, let's push the button. Are you with us, Tyson?
Absolutely. How are you?
Well, we're awfully glad to have you along with us this evening. And I want to talk about, you know, just before the bottom of the hour, another gentleman and I were talking about how this Shivo thing has been a real diversion on some things that are very, very important that are going on in the United States right now. And I happen to think the price of oil and the price of gasoline is one of those issues that we've been diverted from. And I know that you know a lot about the price of gas and where we're going with it and where we've been and what the actual problem is. You know, we hear from many different areas, directions, exactly what's going on. We hear all these problems coming from the oil companies themselves, the gee whiz, you know, demand is high and production is low and all this. What's the real reason that gas is going crazy right now?
Well, first of all, there's no question that the record prices that we're paying for gasoline is directly tied to the record profits that the oil companies are enjoying right now. you know, since George Bush has been president, ExxonMobil, for example, has experienced after-tax profits of $74 billion. And there's no question that these high profits are coming at the expense of consumers. And the reason why oil companies are able to enjoy such record profits is because they're price gouging. Right now, we do not have adequately competitive markets for two main reasons. First, we've allowed way too many recent mergers. For example, we've allowed the merger that created ExxonMobil, Chevron Texaco, ConocoPhillips. The list really goes on and on of huge mega companies that we've allowed to merge. And as a result, only a handful of oil companies control our gas and oil markets. And secondly, we deregulated the energy trading exchanges where the price of crude oil is actually set. Contrary to popular opinion, OPEC nations in the Middle East do not set the price of oil. The price of oil is set by energy traders or speculators at the New York Mercantile Exchange. And because Congress deregulated that in 2000, we really don't have any control over that exchange, and as a result, large investment banks and large oil companies are able to manipulate those energy trading markets, much the same as Enron manipulated the California energy market.
Are there some of the same people involved in the Mercantile Exchange with the Enron thing and what's going on with the gasoline prices?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if your listeners have heard or read about some of those Enron trader transcripts where Enron traders were maliciously talking about manipulating the market and taking product off the market in order to drive prices up and create artificial shortages, where that same kind of thing is going on every day in the oil markets. And it's not just, you know, the researchers at Public Citizen coming up with this. Federal investigations have found this. In 2001, the United States Federal Trade Commission did a major investigation of high energy prices, and they found that oil companies were intentionally withholding gasoline from the market in order to drive prices up by creating these false shortages. And so even though the federal government has documented this, there aren't any laws forbidding oil companies from creating these kinds of shortages in order to drive prices up.
Do you think Congress could, with all the lobbying going on, is this something that's realistic for Congress to do?
Well, not this current White House and not this current Congress. I mean, you have to remember that the oil industry is very politically powerful. They've got very secure friends in the White House. Both President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney have strong professional and personal ties to the oil business. And also the oil industry is very partisan. Just in the last election, the oil industry gave almost $24 million in campaign contributions, with 80% of that going to Republicans. And the Bush administration alone received $6.5 million of that. So with that kind of money flooding the system, the oil industry has been able to guarantee that it continues to buy preferential treatment, and it's coming at the direct expense of the rest of us.
Well, you know, you talked a moment ago about the $74 billion profit by ExxonMobil since George Bush has been in office, and you know, you hear the media on this, I'm sure, as myself and all my listeners do, about how the capacity of the refineries is hurting us so bad. One would think with $74 billion profit, they talk about a new refinery not being built since, I don't know, since the 70s. One would think with $74 billion worth of profit that most certainly they'd be able to up the capacity and build a new refinery or two. Why isn't that being done?
Well, it's not being done because the oil companies have no financial interest in building new refineries. Like you correctly pointed out, they haven't not only built any refineries in 25 years, they haven't even applied for any permits. So this isn't environmental regulations that's been keeping them from building these new refineries. It's that it would put a big dent in their profits. If they were to build new oil refineries, you'd create overcapacity. And overcapacity would put a downward pressure on gasoline prices. So they'd have no financial interest to build new refineries. And in fact, you know, on our website, it's at www.citizen.org, we've got internal company memos written by top executives at some of these companies that were divulged in litigation that show a concentrated campaign by the large oil companies to drive smaller oil refining companies out of business. In fact, over 900,000 barrels of oil a day of refining capacity has been shut down in the United States over the last 10 years, and that they were driven out of business by the larger oil companies. And these internal memos describe a campaign to shut down those smaller companies so that the bigger companies like ExxonMobil and Chevron Texaco could enjoy bigger profits.
And yet we hear these poor man stories about how, gee whiz, you're right, the environmentalists are keeping them from building them and all that. They blame it on somebody else. And speaking of blaming it on someone else, you know, for a while during our first energy crunch, our first real energy crunch, what, 20-some years ago, the government got serious about gasoline mileage requirements of our corporate automobile manufacturers. It seems to me that that's been almost totally forgotten. I don't see this administration doing, even in the midst of these gas prices going through the roof, I don't hear anything coming from the government about conservation.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, as Vice President Dick Cheney famously said 2 years ago, he said conservation is a nice virtue, but it's no basis for energy policy. And he couldn't be more wrong. You know, the problem in the United States, the reason why these oil companies are so easily able to manipulate the market, is because our supply and demand is out of whack. You know, the United States is the third largest oil-producing nation in the world. So the problem isn't that we're not producing enough. It's that we are by far the world's largest consumer of oil. We use 25% of the world's oil every day. So reducing our oil consumption would be a big help. But the Bush administration and the Republican Congress has consistently blocked efforts to increase fuel economy standards. Our failure to improve our fuel efficiency standards has resulted in us today having worse fuel economy than we did 15 years ago, and that's just outrageous. We've had a revolution in technology across the American economy that's led to all sorts of efficiencies, except for in the automobile industry. We are now using more gasoline per automobile today than we were 15 years ago.
Oh, that's an amazing stat. You know, that's hard for the average person to believe.
Well, it's absolutely true. And the main reason why that is true is because we are driving too many of these big gas-guzzling automobiles. You know, SUVs and other gas guzzlers are using too much gasoline, and as a result, our consumption is going through the roof.
More gas per car than 15 years ago. Wow, that is truly amazing. But I have noticed that so many of the economy cars that, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, they were advertising mileage all the time on TV. They're not anymore.
No, they're not. And, you know, that's probably going to start to have to change as your average consumer continues to spend record amounts filling up his or her car at the pump. And remember, this isn't just, you know, these high gasoline prices aren't just affecting people when they're filling up their tanks. It's affecting the entire U.S. economy. When Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, testifies before Congress and he justifies, you know, recent increase in interest rates, the two main reasons why he says that they've got to raise interest rates are inflationary pressures being created by higher energy prices and higher health care costs. So these higher energy prices are having a big effect on raising prices across the board in the American economy. So what's good for ExxonMobil apparently isn't necessarily good for the United States.
on that, just a domino effect right across our economy. We're paying more for gas. Trucking companies are paying for more for gas. Therefore, they got surcharges on deliveries of food to the grocery stores. The grocery stores have to ask more. You know, it's just a vicious circle, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, you know, the two main culprits here are we've allowed way too many recent mergers, and that's created a stranglehold on the U.S. market. And the lack of adequate regulation over these oil traders has allowed them to become too speculative, and that's been very damaging for consumers. There's been a lot of articles written, especially in publications like the Wall Street Journal recently, talking about that there is no longer any match between actual supply and demand and what the price of oil is being traded at the New York Mercantile Exchange. And that's because speculators are now running it. And just like it was not prudent to have speculators running our electricity system as we had in California, it is not prudent for the United States to have these energy traders and speculators dictating how much a barrel of oil is worth.
Well, as you know, Tyson, it appears to me anyway that the feds have used the ANWR drilling problem to bolster their argument about how we need more oil, and they talk about the reserve replacement rate being too low and all that. How much impact is ANWR really going to have on the market here in this country?
A little, but not nearly as much as the proponents claim. I mean, first of all, development in the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge is more than a decade away. And if you actually look at statements by the major oil companies, they're not even that enthusiastic about drilling in that area because it's so remote. It doesn't make a whole lot of economic sense. The oil that's going to be obtained from there is going to be very costly, not only to drill and excavate, but to actually get it to market because it's so far north and because of other reasons. And again, you know, the issue in the United States is not a question of lack of access to crude oil. You know, like I said, the United States is the third largest crude oil producing nation in the world. Only Russia and Saudi Arabia produce more oil than we do every day. The problem is that we do not have the kind of refining capacity to turn that crude oil into gasoline. There have been recent reports of crude oil tankers cooling their heels outside of U.S. ports because there simply is no place to put the crude oil. So it has not been a shortage of crude oil, it's been a shortage of refining capacity. And that comes down to intentional decisions by oil companies to restrict adequate refining capacity, and that's been causing the problems. In 1993, the largest five oil companies in the United States controlled one-third of the refining capacity in the United States. Today, in 2005, because of all these mergers, the top five now control over half the oil refining capacity. So the change in ownership has increased from one-third to one-half. That is a huge swing in market share, and it greatly enables a smaller group of companies to dictate prices to American consumers.
Well, how long do you think the public's going to stand for this? Will we just gradually go along with it, like the old story about the frog in a boiling pot of water? Is that what's going to happen here? We'll just keep paying more and more and more, and nothing's going to happen? Do you think the American public's got any power to do anything about this?
Well, absolutely, the American public has the power. I mean, the question is, who is Congress going to listen to? Are they going to listen to millions of consumers, or are they going to listen to the handful of oil companies that flood the political system with $24 million in their campaign contributions? Right now, the political leadership in Congress and in the White House is only listening to the oil companies. We are developing energy policies that prioritize the needs of oil companies at the expense of the rest of us. For example, recent laws that Congress has passed provide billions of dollars in new taxpayer subsidies to the oil industry. In October 2004, President Bush signed into law a major new corporate tax bill that provides across-the-board tax breaks to oil companies for drilling in the United States. That is ridiculous. The price of the you know, a barrel of oil goes for over $56 today. We think that the market is providing enough incentive for these oil companies to produce more oil. We shouldn't be padding ExxonMobil's $74 billion in profits with billions more in new taxpayer-financed breaks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tell me something. You know, where I used to live, and I know many other places around the country where there are smaller pockets of oil that rather than in Texas and down Long Beach and places like that, that wells that were, you know, slow producers for years were shut down because it was not profitable to use them. With this price being where it is now, are virtually all the oil wells in the country being pumped?
Yeah, I mean, all of these, you know, so-called marginal production wells, they're being tapped into because the price of oil is so high right now. It's creating tons of economic opportunity to start tapping into those resources. But the big problem here, and again, this has been written about extensively in the Wall Street Journal and other major publications, is that the oil companies are not reinvesting their record profits into increasing domestic production. In fact, the only thing that they've been reinvesting their profits into is simply merging with other oil companies. And that's how they've been increasing their production, by just buying up other companies that were already producing. They're not investing in new wells or in new technology. And so that's one of the biggest problems here, is that they are not giving back their profits back into the system to create more opportunities. Instead, they are simply dispersing that money to shareholders, and apparently they're dispersing it to their political allies with the, you know, the amount of money that the oil companies have been giving lately. So that's definitely one of the big problems here.
What's the answer, Tyson?
Well, the answer is we need to, you know, your listeners need to urge Congress to initiate a major investigation into the connection between the record profits that the oil companies have made and the high prices that consumers are paying. And second, we need to repeal the law in 2000, the Commodity Futures Modernization Act, that deregulated these energy trading exchanges, making it far easier for Enron-style manipulation to set oil prices rather than actual supply and demand pressures.
Well, here we had an administration with very, very close ties to the oil industry, and so many people thought that when they came into office that they'd be able to do something about this energy problem. And it appears to me so far they haven't done anything except take us in the other direction. And
well, what they've done is they've given a huge fat reward to their allies in the oil business. So oil companies are having a great time. They're experiencing the biggest profits in the history of American capitalism right now. So the Bush administration has done a lot for their allies, but it's coming at the expense
5 minutes
and to the at the expense of the American economy. And we don't think that that's the way that energy policy should be set.
So it's not that we're at the mercy of the Saudis or the Middle East. It's not that it's the refining capacity. It's just pure, unadulterated greed.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the biggest myths out there, that OPEC is the reason for these high prices, that they control things. You know, OPEC, at their meetings in Vienna, Austria, three times over the last 12 months have made announcements that they are significantly increasing production by OPEC member nations. And on the same day that they make those announcements saying that they're going to increase production, the energy traders, led by the big oil companies in the United States and by the big Wall Street investment banks, actually drive the price of oil up. OPEC has little to no impact over global oil prices. And they're not as big of an impact in the United States. I mean, Persian Gulf OPEC nations only supply 14% of America's oil. 57% of our oil comes from North America, from U.S. oil production, and from the two biggest suppliers to the United States, Canada and Mexico. So you know, it's a myth that we are completely dependent upon Arab OPEC nations. They simply do not have the kind of control over market that they did, for example, in the 1970s.
I'd sure like to know what percentage of Americans believe that it is an OPEC problem or a refining problem. I bet it's a very, very high percentage.
Yeah, I mean, probably the same percentage that think that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and had a direct tie to September 11th. You know, there's been a lot of myths that this administration perpetuates because it's in their political interest to do so. And that simply is not right. And, you know, we've documented it. I've testified before the United States Congress and the federal government. The Federal Trade Commission has investigated this and found that oil companies intentionally manipulate the market. And so we're just trying to get the truth out there so that Americans fully understand the reasons why they're paying such high energy prices.
Well, we'll try and help you do that, Tyson. Give us your website again, please, and where you can read some more about this. I've read several of your articles, and let's let the folks at home know where they can read some more about this.
Sure. It's www.citizen.org, and there you can read our recent reports on this. You can read our testimony before the United States Congress. And in there you can find the links to the federal government reports, both by the Federal Trade Commission and by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, which is the research arm of Congress, which show that that recent mergers are a big reason why we're paying higher energy prices and that energy companies have intentionally manipulated the market in order to drive prices up.
Well, I think a lot of people will find that no surprise. Tyson, we've got to go for the top of the hour news. I am so thankful that you've been on the program this evening. You've explained a lot and probably dispelled a lot of myths for people. And we're going to do our part to urge everybody to get to your website and find out the truth on this. And you have my many, many thanks for being on the program this evening.
Well, guys, it's my pleasure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyson Slocum, Research Director at Public Citizen in Washington, D.C. Go to www.citizen.org and read about what he was talking about here. You'll have your eyes open. Believe me, I will. I've been to the website and read quite a bit about it. And if you're cussing the Saudis every time you fill up with gas, you better think again, all right? We're going to be pausing for the news at the top of the hour. You know you can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We want to hear from you if you want to talk about the Schiavo case, you want to talk about the high price of gasoline, or if you want to defend Tom DeLay. Give us a call. And you're listening to Wink WNOG, The Guy James Show, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be back right after the news.
The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
News Radio, I'm Greg Jarrett. Denied once again, the Florida State Supreme Court refusing to reinsert Terry Schiavo's feeding tube, adding to a laundry list of rejections at the state, federal, and Supreme Court level.
As far as her physical condition, earlier Michael Schiavo's attorney, George Filos, came out saying that she looks beautiful, she looks like she's in peace, she doesn't look like she's in any pain. But, you know, earlier Bob Schindler, Terry's brother, came out absolutely appalled at that description. He says and describes her looking like a prisoner in a concentration camp. So, obviously, vast differences in her description.
Boxer's Julie Banderas outside Schiavo's hospice. An accused child stealer, soon to be accused kidnapper and killer. Roger Bentley is arraigned on charges connected to the disappearance of a 10-year-old Iowa girl. Police are conducting an autopsy on a body found a day after Jetsetta Gage went missing. Bentley is a registered sex offender. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Let's you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. True View, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Week News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Week News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Week News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Now, 2004 was Southern and Nissan's biggest year. We sold more new Nissans because we sold them for less. Well, we're...
2 minutes.
Five bigger savings. We will not let any other Nissan dealer take our title as king of Altima value. Don't pay over $20,000 for your all-new 05 Altima. $15,988, that's all you pay. And that's why we say at Sutherland, when the price ends in 88, savings are great. $15,988 loaded. Stereo CD, tilt cruise, factory air. Power everywhere. Naples, I'm not kidding. Lehigh Acres, more than fair. When you buy a new Nissan at Sutherland, there's always a happy ending because you always save extra dollars, and that happens every day. The Sutherland Way, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on U.S. 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. Your all-new 05 loaded Altima, $15,988 at Florida's true king of Altima value, Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Vince, 215-718 and 473-662. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fee.
I'm Pat Sajak. Taking a chance can pay off big in a game show, but you shouldn't take chances with your child's health. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with leading-edge research and an outstanding teaching program. There's a Shriners Hospital serving kids from this area. For more information or to refer a child, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
This is Craig.
Back in 30.
Hospitals that provides world-class hospital care to children with orthopedic problems and severe burns, totally free of charge. That's a picture of the Shriners Hospitals. The Shriners combine expert medical care with progressive research and innovative teaching programs, and there's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Pleasure it is to be with you folks this evening. It's so great to visit with you each and every week. It really is. I enjoy the conversation. I enjoy hearing your ideas on what's going on in the world. I enjoy bringing to you a great interview like we just heard from Tyson Slocum of the Research Citizen, publiccitizen.org in Washington, D.C. A great insight to what's going on at the gasoline pump right now. You can give us a call at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, 479-5540 here locally, or 263-6570 if you're calling us from Collier County. I promised last week, and I've been remiss the last few weeks, not thanking a few people for donating to the program. And so I'm going to give you a little list right now of folks that have donated to the program recently, and I want to thank all of you a great, great deal. Connie Barada, Robert DeVale, Marie Nelson, Nathan Zuzow, Stephen Picard. Who else we got here? Tim Lyman, Joe Hinckley, Jeffrey Hales, Gina Gilbert Pollock, Nappy's Corner, William Allen, Linda Davis, Ryan Veith, the Computer Center, Marcus Vidal, yeah, and Nancy Mizrak. Also, we've got, who else, Tanya Bravaldi, Michael Meisenberg, got a nice note from him the other day. Gretchen Adams, Susan Westine Novat, Kelly Messina. Kelly's been with us a long, long time, as has some of these other people. Sarah Hagen, Casey O'Hara. Our good friend David Birch over at WhiteRoseSociety.org, where you can catch this show and a lot of other fine liberal programs archived. And do stop in at WhiteRoseSociety.org if you missed part of this program and want to hear the whole thing. You can download it on there, and it's a great site, believe me. Pamela Strandquist, Robert Blankenship, Lawrence Nader, Helen Polker, she's been a great benefactor to the show, and Charles Varga, Stephen Ravitz, and Richard Allen. I hope I haven't missed anybody, but we thank you folks for helping this program stay on the air. You're mighty important to us, and along with all the local folks, I listed all them last week, so I do want to thank you. We need a strong, strong hold in the media to get the truth heard, and we need more than just this voice once a week. We need... Well, as we just talked to Tyson Slocum, you can see what's going on here. Most everybody in America believes that it's the Saudis with the causing all the oil problems. They believe it's the lack of it's pure BS. It's pure propaganda what we're hearing, and the media is complicit in this. You know, if I can find out the truth about this, why can't CBS? Why can't ABC? Why can't NBC? Especially, why can't Fox News? You know. I figured it might be a good week to watch some Fox News coverage of the Shivo story this week, and man, was I ever right. I know some of you are going to agree with me if you stray over there and watch something. And by the way, did you know you can buy a gizmo? I've got it listed here someplace. You can buy this gizmo that'll block Fox off your TV. Yeah. It'll block Fox. You can screw it onto the back of your TV. I don't know exactly how it works. I'll try and find that paper I got on it. Some guy named Sam Kimmery. And he sold about 100 of these little silver bits of metal that screw into the back of most televisions, allowing people to filter Fox News from their sets. And he's been doing this since August. He's been getting thousands of emails, both angry and complimentary, as well as a few death threats. Oh, we know all about that. Interesting. Hope they'll come to your... Maybe Radio Shack's got those. I don't know. They ought to. They'd be better Americans than my... But anyway, I stray over there and take a look at what's going on. And I saw Hannity whoring himself the other night, last night. And coming to you right from the scene of the tragedy up at Pinellas County. I don't know. Is there anything the guy wouldn't do? Anyway, I think the Fox Media this week set a new record for bottom feeders in the media. They really did. You know, by Wednesday this week on the Shivo thing, it was way out of control, and I don't think I've ever heard so many lies by one network in such a short time. I already played that thing about Hannity to you. If you've got any doubts that the entire Fox network isn't a bunch of liars when it comes to that, why, just listen to Joe Scarborough after Hannity talked about that guy being a Nobel Prize. You mean to think, and we had a caller earlier, and I don't mean any disrespect, but he asked me if I take a look at the resumes of the people who are on this show. Well, yes, in fact, I do. If I had somebody coming on this program that claimed to be a Nobel Prize winner, you better bet your behind I would find out if he was. I would never get caught in that situation, but evidently Hannity doesn't care. Because it's that old thing, if you say it enough, and you heard how many times he said it on that tape we had earlier, and you heard how many times Scarborough said it, if you say it enough, Nobel Prize nominee, Nobel Prize nominee. No, you're getting very sleepy. Nobel Prize nominee. You say it enough, and somebody's going to believe it. Usually those of a lower intellect, but they believe it nonetheless. So, I heard more lies on this network, on the Fox network, than I've ever seen in a week. And you can say what you want about other networks, but Fox really does stand alone as the masters of propaganda. There's nobody better. And first they started demonizing the Democrats concerning the Democrats' stance on the situation. And actually, I didn't know the Democrats had a stance on the whole affair, but that's another story. And then they started in on Michael Shivo. They painted him as the worst human being since Tom DeLay. I heard him claim that this whole sad episode was strictly for financial gain by Terry's husband. You know, never mind that the money he got from the lawsuit was used for Terry's care. Never mind that he tried every avenue possible for the first few years to try and find help for her. And then they start painting him as an evil adulterer. Never mind that it was the Schindlers themselves who encouraged him to get on with his life, but Fox News just forgot to mention that the guardian ad litem appointed by the court wrote a 38-page report confirming what Michael Scheibel said about them urging him to get on with his life and actually taking the lady that he's with now over to meet them, and everything was hunky-dory. Oh, yeah, it was just fine. Then they find this doctor, who they say was a Nobel Prize nominee, which turned out to be... but they reported his story anyway, with some giving him some degree of credence when he had none. And you see, you know, given the details about his Nobel nomination would not be good propaganda. You know, the doctor himself even said he was a Nobel nominee. Yeah, he did. He said that. So, you know, enough said for his veracity. And, you know, Fox also vilified the judges involved, saying they were a perfect example of out-of-control liberal judges. I forgot to mention that Judge Greer and almost all of the other judges ruling in this case were conservative Republicans. And then they presented one of Terry's former nurses as an expert on the case. Did you see her interviewed? Now, this one was a real hoot. The nurse stated that Terry Schiavo was lucid, that all of her notes, the nurse's notes concerning Terry had mysteriously disappeared. She claimed that she saved Terry's life, and I love this one. Terry's life, she saved her life after her husband injected her with insulin. She also claimed that a fellow nurse was killing patients. She finished up her statement by saying there was a conspiracy against her because she was fired after giving her statement to the police. And Fox News also forgot to mention that the judge who heard her statement found her story to be absolutely incredible. And Fox claimed over and over again that Terry Schiavo was not on life support. They forgot to mention that the Florida law says, and I looked this up, the Florida law says, and you've all heard him say, oh, no, she wasn't on life support. Oh, no, she's just being fed like all of us to be fed. That isn't life support. Here's what the Florida law says. Life prolonging procedure means any medical procedure, treatment, or intervention, including artificial provided sustenance and hydration, which sustains, restores, or supplants a spontaneous vital function. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Oh, it's not life support, they all screamed. When the Florida law and all these judges have followed says it most definitely is. And then they claimed over and over again that this is a horrible, painful death, you know, and almost to the last man and woman, medical professionals have stated that this, the part of Ms. Schiavo's brain that would register pain of this sort is absolutely irrevocably gone. They describe her death as peaceful. So if you watch Fox News this week, it's no surprise that you'd have a totally skewed version of the entire matter. In fact, if Fox News has been your main source for news on this family tragedy, then you really know very little about it, and what you do know is probably totally false. So I ask you this. Knowing all of what I've just stated, what on earth would cause you to depend upon Fox News for facts? You know, this isn't the first time we've caught him with these outrageous lies. We find them over and over and over again, but we're just a small, small megaphone out in the woods. You know, in fact, if Fox News, it's really obvious to anybody who's taking the time to check out the veracity of their news content that they're promoting unadulterated propaganda from the right. That's it. That's plain and simple. That's their agenda, and they're sticking to it. And they're lying. They know they're lying, and you still believe them. You know, don't take my word for what I've just told you. Do some checking, and you'll find out all that I've just said is absolutely true. So my question to you is this. Why, being adults, would you want to be hoodwinked by Fox News? Why would you accept their news about anything as truth? You know, over and over again, they're proven to be nothing more than a megaphone for the Bush administration, which plays so fast and loose with the truth, even producing news for Fox News that the Bush administration has. You know, it's amazing to me that so many seemingly intelligent people on the right depend upon Fox News for their... I don't get it. Do you want to be stupid and uninformed? Is that it? Is ignorance bliss? Do you want to have the wool pulled over your eyes? Help me understand this. I know my listeners, some of them, are bristling right now over what I've just said, but I challenge you to disprove a single thing I'd said about their misrepresentation of the truth concerning Terry Schiavo. We can differ about our opinions, but what I just stated is fact. Prove me wrong. Go ahead, make my day. Like to hear from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Fox News. Whoa. Let's go to the phones, and let's talk with Eric in Sanibel. Hi, Eric.
Oh, hi, Guy. Good evening. I'm sorry, I'm not wrong exactly about Fox. That kind of steals the thunder there. But I don't really watch this Fox. I don't know, it just doesn't appeal to me, although I am a Republican. But I wanted to tell you, though, that the show you did the other night, talking about the new bankruptcy laws, I heard probably the best information on your show, and then on that other show that I really enjoy. It's a more of a lefty show, but now, it used to be with Bill Moyers Now, and now it's just Now on PBS.
Yeah, what's that guy's Brecaccio? I never can pronounce it.
Yeah, you know, I don't, you know, you say it. I'm kind of interested in labor, and you know, I am a working guy, and so even though I'm somewhat conservative, I take an interest in that. And I didn't, you know, I guess you can make a dig on Fox and the other networks. I didn't hear a ton of stuff. The most I heard about that, the whole seemed to be on your show and on that Now, which I love that show. It's great. I just think everybody should watch it, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. But I just wanted to say that once again, that was a great show, and let's get back to this Fox thing.
Well, you know, Eric, one of the things that bothers me, and you bring up a good point, it bothers me that none of the networks brought it up, hardly at all, and it really bothers me that we liberals get lambasted with the fact that it's the liberal media. Where was the so-called liberal media on this story? Nowhere.
Good point.
I don't get it. So, but I do appreciate you listening, and I appreciate your views on things. So sometimes, and you know what, Eric? I'm really conservative on a lot of things. I really am. Possibly on the same things that you're conservative about.
I think we got a lot we agree on, and most of all, you know, your show is entertaining, and I like to hear all sides, and I think that's what it's all about.
Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Guy.
Yeah.
Bye.
Let's go to Kelly out in California. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty darn good, I think.
Well, you know, I didn't call to talk about Fox either.
Well, that's all right. This is a free country. You can talk about anything you want to on this show.
Sure, then. Could we talk about the Academic Freedom Bill of Rights?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, this is your state, so I'm hoping you know what they're up to.
Oh, no. Oh, no. The circus in Florida. Oh, go ahead. We're used to it.
Okay, well, the Academic Freedom Bill of Rights is sponsored by Dennis Baxley. And it was passed in its little committee. It's got a couple more committees to pass. But it's all about a bill. It's the whole aim of the bill is to stamp out that leftist totalitarianism by dictator professors. And basically it lets students sue their professors if the professors aren't giving their particular point of view.
Oh, wait a minute now. Just, Kelly, this one's gotten past me somehow.
this was Tuesday.
April Fool's Day is next Friday.
No. Okay, I'll read to you from an article, okay?
Oh.
It says, while promoting the bill Tuesday, Baxley said a university education should be more than one biased view by the professor who, as a dictator, controls the classroom as part of a misuse of their platform to indoctrinate the next generation with their own views. The bill sets a statewide standard that students cannot be punished for professing beliefs with which their professors disagree, and professors will be advised to teach alternative, serious academic theories that may disagree with their personal views. According to a legislative staff analysis of the bill, the law would give students who think their beliefs are not being respected legal standing to sue professors and universities.
Well, isn't this sweet?
Uh-huh.
So in other words, a guy's teaching some kind of science course, botany, for example, or I don't know what, and he believes in evolution, and science has taught us that evolution, as far as we know, is as right as rain. We haven't been able to prove every dot and tittle about it, but I mean it's basically true.
Right.
And so I'm teaching that, and I have to turn around and teach creationism, trying to shove down our throats that the Earth's 60,000 years old instead of billions of years old. I got to turn around and teach that too.
Well, as a matter of fact, Baxley, who is a representative from your state, said this. Students who believe their professor is singling them out for public ridicule, for instance, like when professors use the Socratic method to force students to explain their theories, those students would be given the right to sue. And what he said, here's the quote, some professors say evolution is a fact. I don't want to hear about intelligent design. And if you don't like it, there's the door. Baxley said, citing one example when he thought a student should sue.
Hmm. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Where are we headed?
Well, I thought it was bad enough down in the lower grades where I am, although let me tell you, I use the Socratic method in the lower grades as well, and do ask children to explain what it is that they have to say and to back it up with some evidence. But this is beyond. Every time I turn around, every time I think it could not possibly get any worse than it has, they come up with something new. If we can't keep free expression and free ideas going on in our universities, where are they going to happen?
Yeah, isn't that the home of them? Isn't that where they ought to be?
That's where they ought to be.
You know, I'm so sorry, and let me apologize to people in the rest of the country. I'm a Floridian. I live here, and I love it here. It's a wonderful place to live. It really is, but it's more than just a little bit appropriate that the Barnum and Bailey Circus has its headquarters here in Florida, because let's face it, where else could you see so many freak shows? You know,
in my state, Guy.
Well, yeah, you guys are pretty good at it too, but you don't have Barnum and Bailey out there.
We just have Arnold.
Yeah, but you know, we started off with in recent memory here the Elian Gonzalez fiasco a few years ago, and then we have the 2000 election debacle, and then,
mm-hmm.
and then our own governor's wife was caught trying to smuggle in merchandise from overseas without paying a duty on it. The governor's wife, and then we have what else? The Rush Limbaugh drug scandal, and it's the same Limbaugh who's evidently talked his way out of trouble with the law, and you don't think he got any special treatment, do you? And then we've got the what else? We got the governor's daughter who was discovered to be doing the same thing that Limbaugh did, I have to think between the two of them, they kept several doctors and pharmacies really busy. But being the governor's own daughter, she got special treatment even after she's caught with more drugs in the rehab house, and now this circus, and it's just too bad that the Schiavo case had to be brought before the public at all, and it's a shame she couldn't have passed away in peace. And when you add all this up and add four hurricanes this past year, it's been some ride here lately. It really has.
That it has.
But you're right. You got Arnold, and he's certainly making waves in California. What's the buzz in California about Arnold right now? What do you think? Is he...
The buzz about... Well, I can tell you what the buzz from educators are. I don't think we've ever been more united in the entire history of the state. We have our administrators joining us to actually protest the governor's educational cuts. Because,
oh, really?
Well, you know, he publicly here a while back kicked all the nurses' butts, and now he's starting in on the teachers. That was his phrase, not mine. But the budget cuts that are coming up, I don't know, my school is not doing very well right now. We laid off a bunch of people mid-year this year. We're at 32, 33, 34 kids per classroom from kindergarten on up. And next year we laid off our tech support guy. All the computers and the server that keeps the whole place running,
oh.
We have no tech support left.
How many computers do you have left?
Well, the computers, not very many. Not very many, but they have us, they now have us keeping track of, they want us to do all of our report cards and our grades on the computer. And that's where all the records are.
Oh, that could get interesting.
Oh, that could, yes, it can get very interesting. And we have no, we have absolutely no tech support. We have no assistant administrator, and our principal is only on campus 2 days a week. And we've been told that he's too busy doing paperwork on the days that he's there. So any kind of issues that we have, discipline problems, anything that we need, we are on our own.
So,
next year, they've cut all the music teachers, they've cut all the sports, and they're closing the libraries in my district.
Well, you know, we never needed kids that well-rounded anyway.
That's true.
I mean, sports and music, hey, come on. You know, I think if you've got all your records on a computer and the thing crashes, you might end up in the same situation. I can remember when I was I was a freshman in high school, and I went to a little bitty, I mean little itty-bitty school, really small. Anyway, we had a teacher that was teaching algebra.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a little bit wacky. And the farther we got along in the year, in the semesters and so forth, she was a little wackier and wackier. And it turned out this woman was quite deranged. And they actually hauled her out of the school one day in a straitjacket. Yes, this really happened. And so she had all of her records and so forth, and so the principal of the school called each one of the students, and there were only about a dozen of us taking algebra, called us in the office one at a time and said, "What do you think you deserve for a grade this 6 weeks?" And, you know, oddly enough, I think everybody from what I know was pretty darn honest about it. That's the first time and only time a teacher ever asked me what I ought to have for a grade, and you might be facing the same situation.
Could very well be. I mean, we can't get a whole lot done, but that's, the other big issue, just in my district, is that the district recently passed two bond measures where people increase their property taxes to build new schools, and now they're saying that the buildings are built and standing there, but they don't have the money to open them next year because they can't staff them.
I just saw something here even more disturbing than what you just said about the academic freedom. One of the poster, Christine on Democratic Underground, says from what she's heard from Mother Jones, the Mother Jones Minute on Air America, that there are 20 bills similar to this one in state legislatures.
That is frightening. What your guy said, Baxley, he compared the state's universities to children, saying that the legislature should not give them money without providing guidance to their behavior.
My. Well, we've got a problem, and we've got to work on it. And those of us who are past the age of having kids in school, I mean, we need not and we cannot drop out of this situation and leave it to...
No, those are your future voters that are being indoctrinated right now, and they're starting really young.
And there are future citizens, too. Doggone it.
Yeah.
Do I want everybody that works in any capacity in my neighborhood, in my city, in my county, do I want them all to be imbeciles? I don't think so.
I don't think so. But right now, I mean, it's gotten worse and worse. Right now, we're basically expected to train them to bubble the way they're told to.
Yeah, well.
Now, that'll be really good when you tell them to vote the way they're told to, but it doesn't really help them.
Well, just so long as we don't leave any child behind, you know. Kelly, thank you for your call.
Yes.
Great to hear from you.
Don't leave any of those university students behind either. I'll talk to you again soon, Guy.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's a downer. It really is. Our schools, they're talking about our kids. Jeez. Hey, we're going to stop for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show. We'll be right back after these words. Don't you go anywhere.
Restoring the liberal media. The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG. Hi there, Julie. Working through lunch?
I'm working all right on my future. I'm worried about the losses in my 401k, so I'm doing a little research before I meet with a financial planner this afternoon.
I'm closer to retirement than you are. But when I went to one, the advice didn't fit my situation, and I couldn't get them to return my calls.
Well, you do have rights, Mr. Davis. I got this information from Human Resources on how to find a financial planner I can trust and how to assert my rights as a client.
If I don't do something soon, I may have to push back my retirement. 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner. Can I borrow those brochures?
Whatever the reason, if you seek help from a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For information on your rights as a financial planning client for yourself or to distribute to your employees, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit CFP.net.
Life insurance is as important to your financial plan as a solid foundation is to a house. Today, David Woods, president of the Life and Health Insurance Foundation for Education, explains why.
A financial plan without life insurance is really just a savings and investment program that dies when you do. If you haven't guarded against disaster, then that financial plan will collapse in the event of someone's death.
If someone with a life insurance need told you they wanted to put all their money in stocks, what would you say?
I would argue that's the biggest reason to buy life insurance, because it's guaranteed. It doesn't depend upon the market. You don't have to bet your family's future on an exciting stock or stock market continuing to go up or remaining up. There is a place for investments, but there is also a place for life insurance as the basis of a sound financial plan.
This Financial Security News Minute has been brought to you by the Life and Health Insurance Foundation for Education.
Number 400,610.
Number 400,611.
Number 400,000.
This year, United Way helped train over 400,000 jobless people.
100,902.
700,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter. We help provide quality child care for over 1 million families.
1,200,000.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we help restore.
My name is David.
The communities we unite.
Jake.
The newfound optimism.
Sarah.
The sense of purpose and of community coming together.
Lee.
Diane. Louisa.
Michael.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way. Or log on to UnitedWay.org.
You can crack open a fortune cookie to find out whether you qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit, the EITC, or you can stop guessing and know. Log on to IRS.gov, keyword EITC, or call us at 1-800-TAX-1040. That's 1-800-TAX-1040. Or ask your tax preparer. So if you'd rather know if you qualify for the EITC, consider it done.
One voice can get the point across. Two voices are stronger. Now add more and more, and we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition. They help community groups fight to keep kids away from drugs. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org to find out how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more
when you get together.
Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
The nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Hey, have I told you lately how glad I am to have you all along with us this evening? And my goodness, thanks to all of you. Thanks to everybody listening, whether you be pro or con on our views here on this program. I'd like to wish everybody a very happy Easter. All of you that are observing Easter this week, Easter Sunday tomorrow, and a big Good Friday the other day. And, you know, I would remind all of you that this isn't Easter for everybody, even everybody in Christianity. A lot of people don't know that. And, for example, you take the Orthodox people, the Russian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, the Antiochian Orthodox, and all the Orthodox people of Orthodox faith, their Easter isn't until May first this year. Sometimes, I think about every fourth year, it's the same as the Protestant and Catholic Easter, but the other 3 years out of four, it's different. It always has to be after Passover. And, boy, I'm sounding like a religious expert here, am I not? Oh, my. But, so, don't forget, if you've got any Orthodox friends, their Easter's coming up in a little over a month. They get to go out and buy all the Easter candy that's on sale and save money on theirs. Yeah, and they do, too. Anyway, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I would remind you that this program is being sponsored tonight by the Bill Frist Mail Order Medical Diagnosis Company. And they're having an introductory offer for only $19.95. You can get a diagnosis for anything that ails you. Just call 1-800-I'M-A-QUACK. 1-800-I'M-A-QUACK, and Bill Frist will give you a diagnosis. You could be somewhere in Mongolia and send him a postcard, and he'll write back and tell you everything that's wrong. He's that good, evidently. Oh, yeah. We have a little fun with that, but, you know, for a man who is not a neurologist, taking advantage of the fact that he is a doctor to get up on the Senate floor and say what he said is absurd. Absolutely absurd. And almost, I bet you 99% of the people in medicine would tell you that that was a very irresponsible thing for him to say the other day. Just to prove a political point. Just to put some feather in his cap, because you know he's going to run for president. Him and Tom DeLay. Oh, boy. You know, Tom DeLay did give that speech in front of a Christian audience the other day, talking about how poor Tom DeLay was being persecuted by the people on the left who are after him. He really doesn't have all these ethical problems. It's just those evil liberals that think he does. You know, guys like DeLay, these people call themselves Christians. Take a look into some of the things that DeLay has done. You know, he supports hate and intolerance and violence and racism. And they support the sanctity of life only as long as it's the sanctity that they want. They've got no tolerance or thought for anyone but themselves, and they prove that every single day. And I've seen them as a danger for several years, and now I think they feel more empowered than ever before. They're flexing their collective muscle and are actively trying to control our government. You know, the tragedy of this situation is that they're really getting away with it. Could those Puritan hats be too far behind? You know, they condemn the court system as being filled with activist judges. And did any of them take the time to check out the background of the judges in the Schiavo case? Conservative Republicans, almost all of them are conservative Republicans. But since they don't interpret the law the way these insane fundamentalist Christians want them to, they're threatened with death. Threatened their own conservative Republican judges with death. You know, face it, there's no escape from comparing them to the worst kind of fanatical extremist. It's going to be their way or no way. One would expect our Senate Majority Leader, a man in that responsible position, Mr. Bill Frist, and that Tom the Snake DeLay, the Speaker of the House, Dennis Hassard, and Vice President Cheney, and Mr. Bush, you'd expect people like that in high office like that to disavow these wackos, but instead they suck up to them. And that's what really scares me. The United States government is actually sanctioning their behavior. Kind of scary, isn't it? You know, you hear him say over and over and over again that we're fighting terrorists in the Middle East, but I think with these fundamentalist Christians that are flexing their muscles right now, we're cozying up to terrorists right here in our own backyard. Yes, sir. And they have a hand. It's what's going on in the government. Let's talk to Laura in Cape Coral. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. Listen, you were talking about the law, about life, and what it says about life. What about the laws about hearsay information? It's simple to me. It's black and white. She had nothing written down, so therefore, that's what they go by. None of this hearsay information crap, you know, by all these other people saying that she wanted to live, she didn't want it to live. It's hearsay information. It should have never been allowed in the court system to begin with.
Well, I guess the judge, you know? Several judges disagree with you.
Well, it's but you go by law, or don't you go by the law?
Yeah.
It's simple.
So you're saying,
you know?
you're saying the judge broke the law?
And let me tell you something.
No, are you saying a conservative Republican judge broke the law? Willfully broke the law?
Yeah.
To what end?
Why would
a conservative Republican judge would do that? Why?
All the judges can do it. Doesn't matter. I mean, it's not a political thing. If it was a political thing, It's a Republican judge doing it. It's not obviously not a political thing. I don't give a crap who's doing it. But you know, I grew up in northern Wisconsin. I was a lifelong Democrat my whole life, and I switched to the Republican Party 2 years ago.
Why?
And I'm so glad I did. And I'm glad I don't watch the Communist News Network, CNN.
I see that you've been drinking the Kool-Aid. You've been listening to Rush and Hannity, and you've got all the right words. You know, I can almost predict what you folks are going to say when you call in. You're also predictable. It really is. I wish you'd be.
I say too, but you know, the regardless of all that, the bottom line is.
You didn't come up with that Communist News Network yourself, did you?
Pardon me?
You didn't come up with that Communist News Network thing yourself, did you?
I suppose. CNN, Communist News Network.
Oh, so you came up with that? You didn't get that as a talking point from one of the right wingers? Really?
Yeah, but what I'm saying.
Well, congratulations. That's something original coming from a right winger. I've never heard that before. I never have. There's no none, people on the right don't have independent thoughts. They listen to Limbaugh or they listen to Hannity or they listen. Mm-hmm. That's how they get all their thoughts. And but congratulations, if you come up with that Communist News Network all from yourself, that's rather unusual.
But you know, like I don't even care about any of that. But my whole thing is it's black and white. She had nothing written down.
Who do you think's her guardian? You're talking about the law. Who according to the law in Florida is her guardian? Who?
Well, I believe.
No, now we started talking about the law, and you wanted to talk about here. Who is her guardian? Forget about what her wishes were. Forget about that for a moment. You started off talking about the law and how the judge probably broke the law by taking in hearsay evidence. Mm-hmm. The law in Florida says that her husband is her guardian, does it not? Yes or no?
Does it?
Forget that. Forget that. Who is her guardian? According to the...
Which I don't think is a good thing anyways, but still, I mean, it is her husband.
That's right. And so who makes the judgment in these cases in Florida, according to the law?
Her husband. Written down, according to the law.
Doesn't matter if she didn't have anything written down. Her husband is her guardian, not her parents.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, if they wanted to take care of her, let her take care of her. You know what I mean?
But her guardian doesn't want that.
I know. Well, because he's got a new girlfriend and a couple kids. He don't care about her.
Doesn't he? Do you know him?
No, but I mean...
Do you know what's in his heart? Do you know that for 7 years... All the money he got in that lawsuit, he took her to California. They had the brain implants thing.
I know all that.
Okay. How long should he keep that up? How long?
I don't know. How long?
You don't think 15 years is enough?
Yeah.
You don't think 15 years is enough?
I wouldn't want to have to make that decision.
Tell me how many people you know would be in a vegetative state for 15 years and want to go on that way. Do you know anybody that would? Give me an honest answer to that question. Do you know a single soul that would be in a vegetative state for 15 years?
I never really
years?
Asked anybody.
Huh?
For my husband.
I suggest you do. I suggest you ask everybody you see for a week or two how many of them would want to live 15 years in a vegetative state. I say you're going to come up with no one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't think you will. Would you?
With the law.
Would you?
I don't know. It depends on, you know. I mean, I wouldn't want to put that on my kids to make that decision. Say my husband wasn't around and my kids had to make that decision.
Well, why don't you? Would you want to live that way for 15 years? How about just sitting down tonight and right now to then have it notarized tomorrow?
I wouldn't want to live that way. But would I? If I didn't have a living will, I would not want to have that put on my kids, if they were even my legal guardians or my husband.
Well, somebody's going to have to make it, and that's going to have to be your guardian.
Right, but. You should have a living will written down.
But if you don't, the decision's up to your guardian. And your guardian in that case is your husband.
So the law says you have to have a living will.
No, the law doesn't say you have to have a living will. If you have a living will, fine. But if we get to this point, then the guardian, his word is what it is. And the court has ruled on that, and you're not going to overrule the court. I mean, the court is law here in Florida, unless the Congress wants to override it.
Well... It's different. Like, say, so if it's a kid and you're the guardian, that's different because they're a minor.
The law doesn't state it that way. If you're 72 and the guardian is still your spouse, that's the law here in Florida. They make if you're 5 or 75, the guardian is still the spouse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So where
does it say that in the law that you don't have to have a living will? It's just your spouse.
You can't force somebody to have a legal living will. It doesn't say that in the law that you have to have a living will.
But they say that...
Were you even listening to Fox News to get this?
I listen to all the different networks.
Well, you said you don't listen. You said you don't listen to those commies, those CNN people.
Yeah, I don't listen to CNN. I go.
Would you tell me what they've said lately? It's been communist.
What's that?
Could you tell me what the CNN?
I haven't watched them in a long time.
But when you did watch them, in order to call them a communist news network, what did they say that espoused the communist doctrine?
Well, I just think they're really into big government. And, you know,
Wait a minute. Did the Republicans, am I dreaming here, or was it the Republicans that just used big government to overrule in states'
and
rights?
How often does that happen with the Republicans? Let me tell you something.
It just happened in the 2000 election, didn't it? It just happened in the 2000 election, and it just happened again.
How did it happen in the 2000 election?
The Supreme Court overruled the Florida court. They had no right to do that. It's states' rights. You know who's preached states' rights for 100 years? Been Republicans, hadn't it? And when the states' rights don't suit them, and then with big government, they overrule them. So, you know, I don't want anybody to give me that crap that big government. That's big government. We've got the biggest deficit we've ever had.
Like people even talk about, like, the Republicans over the big government until, like, now. I mean, it always was a Democratic thing.
What?
Big government stuff.
Who's got the biggest government now that there ever was in the history? Biggest deficits ever, biggest trade deficit, biggest budget deficit. Who's got that? Mm-hmm. Who is it?
Yeah, well, do you think that...
And they own the Congress, and they own the Senate, they own the House, and got the biggest budget deficit, biggest trade deficit in the history of this country, and you're going to tell me the Democrats are the party of big government?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Better study up on that one, Laura. Thanks for calling. Oh, my God. There's the call of the week. Call of the week. I don't mean to make fun. Maybe I do. But please don't call if you don't know. Well, do call. If you don't know the facts, do call. I guess it's entertaining. Hey, let's talk to Juan in Fort Myers. Hiya, Juan.
Hi, guy. your show gets better and better all the time. I called for two reasons. One of them is, I wanted to mention that, you know, Mr. Bush, George Bush, when he was running for president the first time, he was asked on national television about the moratorium that was going on in death row inmate in the state of Illinois, and since he had been executing more people in Texas and death row, if he thought that since DNA evidence have been has proved that some of these people are not really guilty, if he would allow them to go through DNA test before executing them, he said no, and he said. They had the best justice system in the world. So right there, he didn't err on the side of life, and he said that he had the best justice system in the world. Why is he second guessing the best justice system of the world? So he's a hypocrite, and that's what I wanted to say about him. But we knew that. That's just another example. The second reason that I call is I'd like to know how can one go about getting your tape, and if this is possible to get your tapes. I like to play it in my place of business, just to let them run through the day, because you know this thing, what this fellow said about the gasoline, they've been every person in government that has come up been on television, have been asked, and then the radio, and they seem to be confused, or they act confused, and if we can bring some of those points that this fellow was bringing up today, I think it would be a benefit to the country.
Juan, you have a computer?
Yes.
Can you cut CDs on it?
Yes.
Go to www.whiterosesociety.org.
Okay.
And you can download all or part of any program that you want on there.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. And now I don't have to worry about anything if I just put them in and play it in my office.
I don't think the Guy James Show lawyers are going to come after you for copyright infringement.
Okay.
Our huge legal staff.
Okay. Very good. I because I think people need to know that. And people need to know, you know, you have some good color from, you know, both sides, but then you have some, it seems like, you know, a lot of the people that are on the right and don't have all the facts, and they sometimes kind of go more on emotions. And I think that's okay, but, you know, so long as the facts are not lost in the way, along the way somewhere, that the issues need to be discussed and the facts, and then, you know, try to do the best. If we don't have a good law in the books, maybe, you know, we can change that, but, you know, we still have to go on the facts.
Thanks for your call, Juan.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Man always makes sense. You know, we had a call a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it's 3 weeks, maybe it's 2 weeks ago. I don't know. But is my favorite call since we've been doing this show is the most fun and the most the favorite show that I've ever had. And maybe some of you heard it, maybe some of you didn't. But I went home with a smile on my face because we were discussing the lies about the Bush administration getting us into this awful war in Iraq, which we've hardly discussed here today, and I feel guilty about it because it is a horror. It still is a horror. There's people being maimed and killed, two more today, and countless Iraqis killed again this week, innocent people. It's a terrible situation, and they want us to forget about it. And as in the news, the media has been letting us down, not reporting it the way they should and so forth. The Terry Schiavo incident has taken precedent over everything this week. But we had a caller trying to defend the decision to go into Iraq, and we were telling them that, well, no, none of these bombers were from Iraq and all that sort of thing, and we had to fight this war on terror and everything. And I said, well, why did they start in Iraq? And his answer, I just think, was a classic. He said, well, we had to start somewhere. And, you know, I was thinking about that. We had to start somewhere. Why not Portugal? Portugal. Or how about Chile? Or you know, the Ivory Coast or someplace like that. Doggone it. You know, we go over there and we start in Iraq, but he said we had to start somewhere, and I could think of lots of places we could start. You know, I never particularly liked, what other country that I don't like? I didn't like the attitude. Well, the French, you know, they got an attitude, but it's okay. They've had it for, they're consistent, I can give that to them. And let me say, I bear no malice toward the French whatsoever, but, you know, we could have, how about those people in Norway? I mean, why didn't we start up there? There's a lot of places we could have started, but the guy said we had to start somewhere. Oh, you know. Hey, touchy subject, but I have to bring this up. You know, the Guy James Show is a donor, listener-supported program, and you haven't heard me say that all evening long. And we would like it very much for you to be a part of the Guy James program and send us a donation on www.theguyjamesshow.com. You'll find a place on there that you can click and make it oh so easy. Why not throw in $5 or $10 every month? That helps us stay on the air. We have to buy our airtime, and we don't take a salary for this. We've got no big bucks. We're regular folks on this program, and we hope you remember that, and we hope that you can go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and donate to the program. We'll be ever so grateful, and you'll help lots and lots and lots of people hear the truth. That's what we deal in on this program, is the truth. And this week, the truth was hard to come by sometimes, especially if you were watching Fox, you know. Idiot things that were said on Fox this week. We had Michael Schiavo's, a nurse that said she used to take care of Mrs. Schiavo, and said Mrs. Schiavo was lucid, that she heard her talk, and her husband said that Michael Schiavo tried to kill Terry Schiavo by injecting her with insulin. My goodness, it's funny that no one else knew about that. And she said she was fired after she told the police about all these crimes, that it was just a big cover-up. I guess the hospice, the entire staff at the hospice and the police up in Pinellas and the whole day, it was all one big conspiracy on Michael Schiavo's side, evidently. Of course, the court, we just had a lady called and said, I guess the court isn't necessarily someone you can believe in Florida. Remember that next time you get picked up for speeding and you're in front of the judge. Just tell him, hey, look, I don't have to listen to you. I hear people every day call in and say you guys don't matter at all. and I'm going to go to Congress. I don't like this speeding ticket, Mr. Smart Guy Judge, and I'm going to go up to Tom DeLay, and I'm going to get... They're going to overrule you and make you look stupid, that's what. Yeah, that's what. And then, you know, we had people saying that Mrs. Schiavo is lucid, and we know she wasn't. Cerebral cortex virtually disappeared. We've had doctors this week talk about the fact that Teresa Schiavo could get better. Give me a case where someone's been in that state for 15 years and recovered. Just one. That's all I'm asking. 15 years. You know, they had somebody all over Fox this week. This lady said, hey, I was in a persistent vegetative state. I was. And I can look at me now. I can talk and I can do everything. I got a little paralysis on my left side. But other than that, I'm just real good shape. Turns out she was in a, I guess, kind of a mild coma for 3 months. Little difference between that and 15 years. You know, she went on saying, oh, everybody said, well, I'd never get better, I'd never survive, and all this stuff. And she told that story, and the Fox folks were just eating it up, as usual. They're either dumber than hell or the biggest liars in the world, one or the other, and I think the latter is true. Maybe a mixture of the two. You know, they talked about that she could get better, and then they talked, well, future medical advances could help her regrow dead brain cell tissue. Maybe 500 years from now they'll come up with that. I don't know. And then we had Senator Bill Frist, who, by the way, once again, is a sponsor of this program. You can get your diagnosis by calling 1-800-I'M-A-QUACK, and he'll get your diagnosis for you. And he looked at the tapes and said she really wasn't in a vegetative state, never mind all the experts, neurological experts that looked at it. He knows nothing about that. Let's see. Michael Schiavo wanted his wife dead so he could collect the money from her settlement. You know, that fund was exhausted years ago, and people just forgot to mention that fact. Michael Schiavo wanted his wife dead so he could marry another woman. You know, he could have divorced her a long time ago. He could have. But he promised that he'd take care of her, and he has, up until her final days. And, you know, now they're saying he beat his wife, all this sort of thing. They're demonizing him in the worst possible way, and I think it's disgusting. It really is, but it shows how low, how utterly low these people will go. We're, I don't know. It really does disgust me when I see people acting like they have this week up there. So hopefully the circus will be over soon and reason will take over once again. Hey, listen, you know, I'm so glad that you listened to the program tonight. We try and bring you a good program each and every week, and it helps to have a good audience like we do. And I do appreciate the intellect of most of my callers and all of our listeners. So come back and listen to us again next week. We'll be here. In the meantime, you heard from the radical right, and you heard for some of them tonight. So all that's left is the truth. God bless. Have a good Easter. We'll talk to you next week.
James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merritt. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Production assistant, Liz Laura. Marketing director, Marlene Jones. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station.